Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hello everyone and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Australian Survivor Blood versus Water. I'm your host Shannon Guth, here to talk about week two. And I'm not going to lie to you, I'm a little giddy that we get to see the queen work her magic, pull off two blindsides this week. I also love the twist. I love the challenge in episode five. Like, so many amazing dynamics, I thought, happening across the week. So I have someone really, really fun to talk about this week with. Now, please welcome a standout player from Survivor 41, who was a joy to watch and is also a recent convert to Australian Survivor, so we'll get all those thoughts. It is their first ever Survivor recap. Take that, Rob. It's the great Evie Jagoda. Evie, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Shannon. I'm so excited to be here. I've been having so much fun. Yeah, this is my first ever season of Australian Survivor. And yeah, I cannot wait. I can't believe I'm talking to you. I'm very, very excited.
I'm very, very excited. I mean, I feel like you've come off Survivor 41 and you're just like, is this your third RHAP podcast in about a month? Right? Like, you're just like part of RHAP now. It's great.
I mean, well, the thing is, I was a super fan of Survivor, but I was possibly even more so a super fan of the Rob is a podcast community. So, you know, it's like all these podcasts that I used to just listen to want me to talk back to them. So how can I pass that up?
Yeah, you're in the show now, which is great. And we were talking about this a little bit offline, but like, I was kind of asking how you are, but I feel that that is part of the fact that you have jumped onto Australian Survivor in the last 2 weeks. Also, Celebrity Big Brother. And just like, how are you doing this? That is, what is that? Like 7 episodes of reality television a week. Like, that's so much content. Like, how, why is this your life now?
Literally on Saturday, there was no new episode of either Celebrity Big Brother or Australian Survivor. And I was like, what do I do today?
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, I did watch an old season of Celebrity Big Brother is what I did.
Oh my God. In one day?
Pretty much. It's not really that many episodes. It took two days.
Yeah.
This is making me sound really sad. I'm good. I'm good. I, you know, since the show, for anyone that's listening, you know, I finished my PhD. I have a new job that I am really liking. And I swear I do and spend a lot of time doing that in addition to watching TV. But yeah, I feel like, you know, I've been back from Survivor since like May. And for most of that time, I felt pretty reluctant to watch any like CBS or like any competition shows really in general, just because it like stressed me out and like started, you know, like overthinking about my game or, you know, just it was too much, you know? And I really feel like this week with this Australian season, as well as the Celebrity Big Brother, I feel like it's like, these seasons are so fun and like, they finally feel like the stakes for me. It's like I'm past the over emotional investment. And I just get to like, I feel like this week I became a regular fan again. And I'm just like actually like living in the joy of just getting to like watch these and not be on them, even though being on it was fun, but it's more fun to watch when you're not on it, I have to say.
Yeah. Well, it's probably like that immersion therapy. Like you really just have to blast past any of those feelings when you're on hour 4 or night 3 of Australian Survivor, and there's so much going on. And I feel like it's so different to what you played that there's almost maybe enough of that disparity to kind of like help you wade back into Survivor. Because, I mean, to talk about what Australian Survivor is, it's always been super different to US Survivor, but especially the game you played in the new era. I mean, 47 days compared to 26, like the amount of content that it is, these like 12 person tribes versus 6 person tribes, like this, it's just an opposite game, I feel.
Oh, absolutely. And it's like, and it also just like, yeah, it looks different. It sounds different. Like Jeff's not there. Like there's you know, and it's, yeah, it feels like almost, yeah. It's like, if you told me like this was some random season from like, maybe like this is actually season like 21 of US Survivor and I just like missed it, I would be like, oh, okay. I mean, sure. That kind of, you know, but like it's really, but it's also has so many kind of, I love the like epicness. Like it's really, really cool to watch the way that it's like, man, I'm so jealous watching all these people, these like amazing glow ups of like their home life stuff, you know, like it's really cool and it's fun. And the accents are great. And it seems like it's a really fun cast so far. So I'm really enjoying it. I did have to Google what a kilogram was at one point.
I don't know that I know what that is.
Well, they were carrying 20 kilogram bags.
Oh, kilogram. I thought you said kilogram, which is actually something we'll talk about later in this podcast. A kilogram. No, kilogram. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I was like, I feel like it looks heavy, but I want to know how much that is. And I was like, 2.2 is involved somewhere. And then I was like, is it 10 pounds? I was like, oh no, it's 40 pounds. So
God, I literally thought you meant kilogram. And no, but I'm glad that you say that because that's what we always have to do as internationals. Every time that you guys go to Ponderosa and you're like, I lost this many pounds. It's like pounds in kgs every time.
Yep.
And yeah, the shoe's on the other foot and it should be.
Like that, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, of course. I mean, totally. I feel no way about it. I'm like, oh, I'm the dumb. I don't know what that means. I mean, I'll look it up. Like,
yeah, the metric system, that's where it's at. But look, yeah. I feel like as well, you know, Sandra being there, this was such a heavy Sandra week, just being so amazing. And that's kind of like a good gateway into the show as well, because it's like, well, I know this person, you know, like this person's like my friend holding my hand through it. And she has so much content. Definitely going to get all your thoughts on Sandra. But like big picture, who are you kind of loving? Like what's standing out to you about the show and this week?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, the Sandra thing, it's just so amazing, you know? And I feel like when it started, I was like, you know, just like hearing about it, I was like, really? Like, we're like, is it going to be as fun as you think it's going to be? And it's like, yeah, it's even more fun than I thought it was going to be having Sandra, you know? Especially with like the last time she played, she was playing against winners who she, I feel like, had a lot of like out of game connections with. So it didn't feel as like magical watching her navigate there. But this, it's so fun to watch her. So obviously I'm very drawn in by that. And Nina, I'm sure we'll talk about, like, I mean, less of a Nina week this week than the last three episodes, but she's absolutely amazing. So it's so fun to watch her get to play. I actually had the pleasure of DMing with her a little bit, and she's just so wonderful. I'm just so, so excited that she's now like part of this universe. So I'm loving them. Loving Sam and Mark. I was definitely, I listened to the podcast last week. I was high on Mark last week, like you were. And I definitely think, we've seen a lot of good gameplay, from the two of them, not necessarily always like perfect, but like, I'm definitely emotionally invested in the two of them, I would say. I feel like that they haven't gotten a lot of play, like confessionals or things like that. But I think that, Jesse and his brother, Jordy?
Jordy, yes. One of the J's.
I think the two of them are playing really well and are in really good spots. I'm liking them. And just in general, I mean, women are freaking running so much of the season. It's amazing. I mean, obviously Amy had highs and lows, but like Amy's stellar. Like there's just a lot of, strong players and especially strong women, which I always love to see. Overall, really fun cast.
Yeah, I had a tweet about just like how much the women are running this show. Like between Nina, she got all the cheesy points last week, and Sandra, who did all the blindsides this week. Sam, I think, is playing incredibly well. We'll talk about how Sandra didn't find out that she voted for her, which is completely nuts and insane. Sandra's talking to Sam about how much she hates Dave for voting for her. crazy, crazy stuff. Yep. Michelle will talk about is clearly in that mix and we're not getting enough of it.
Yep.
Chrissy is like the comic relief, which often goes to like a guy like that. I mean, again, a softer week for Chrissy, but Water in general didn't have as much blood this week. But yeah, like Chrissy, you know, kind of gets that big character spot. There's just, yeah, as you said, like Amy having the highs and the lows. Mm-hmm. It's great to see women running with the show. I think it's amazing. And talking about that in the edit, so Jay goes home. Mm-hmm. Jay seems like a nice guy. Loved how he like kissed Sandra on the cheek. She like I put a tweet out with her facial reaction. I don't think she was expecting it. Extremely graceful edit. Seemed like a lovely person. And he did not get a confessional. So Evie, apologies in advance for spoiling you on like all of Australian Survivor through this podcast. But the context is this is the second time that this has happened when someone has been so purpled that they have gone home without a confessional. What happened to like a young woman a couple of years ago? And like it felt like that's how they edit women often. And mm-hmm. the fact that this was a guy, I mean, I definitely don't condone it. It's right. Like everyone should get a confessional, of course. We should learn their story. But Jay gets sent home. It's like kind of, again, these like beefy Jays that
yeah.
are, you know, less in the mix other than the twins, which we'll talk about. And Mel is the last remaining person with zero confessionals. It's actually pretty good for Australian Survivor. But I do feel like that edit balance, like I think I'm seeing a little bit of a difference in terms of gender.
Yeah, I mean, so you're saying you think that they're editing women more now in Australian Survivor?
Well, women can get huge edits. The thing with Australian Survivor is that, like, the disparity in general is crazy. Uh-huh. And there have been women, like Tara in 2017, I think, got the most confessionals. Like, yeah, like, they can get a lot. Haley got a ton last season. I just feel like, for me, so much of a game and edit focus on so many women compared mm-hmm. to like so many of these kind of guys. I think this week we saw the alphas. We kind of got a better sense of them individually. But like, I still feel strongly from a content perspective that it's kind of like female led and like distinctly so.
Yeah.
That's just kind of the impression that I get.
Yeah, I totally agree. And again, like, I don't think anyone should get no confessionals. Like that's,
no.
You know, and I do feel like I knew Jay to some degree, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, especially he had those moments where he kind of monologued a little bit to everyone about his feelings of seeing Alex hurt and stuff. So, like, at least there was, yeah. like, a little bit. Mm-hmm. of it wasn't like, who is that guy? But, yeah, that's just not great in general. But I definitely, yeah, I feel powerful woman energy coming off the screen. And you had, you know, Brianna and, like, Shay had a bunch of confessionals early on and stuff. So, you know, that's always great to see. And, you know, I feel like, you know, you can't always really comment on the edit really until the end of the season anyway, until we know the whole story. Like if you look at, you know, my season 41, you had a lot of non-men content in the confessionals, you know, like Shan, obviously, and me and Tiff had a lot of confessionals and things like that. But then Erica, the freaking winner, like had so little for so many episodes. So, you know, you got to tell the story. So I don't know. Well, it's a little too soon to say, but it hasn't felt the really notable thing for me is the twins. Like, I feel like we've gotten like yeah. almost nothing from them. So a bit more Michelle, at least this week, but, yeah, we'll have to see.
Mel had a really fun, like sideways glance at the camera after speaking to Khan that she was like, I'm going to make my own confessional right now. It's wordless, but I'm yeah. looking at the camera. Like I see you, do you see me? So I think that, yeah, the twins, Mel's the most hard done by with zero confessionals and Jay to go home with zero. But I do agree. I feel like we knew him. Again, you know the pair. So you know Alex, you know that right. he's like so loosely connected to Jay and that it's now, you know, his sister's now ex-boyfriend, but I guess they're like technically a pair and we get those Matt chats. So I do feel like we get the content in that. Mike did say in the pre-season podcast that he thought that Jay would be the most purple. So absolutely a big tick on that for Mike. But yeah. I did, you know, really enjoy this week. It was a lot of content to get what was basically one boot. It was unfortunate with the medevac. But like, how did you feel about, yeah, just, I guess, you know, compared to week one, like I probably enjoyed it more.
Yeah. I mean, week one was also super fun. I thought it was really fun. It's been fun to see these. Cause did Blood go to tribal in the first?
Yeah.
No, so
they sent home Kate,
the Juicy Dave, tribal. Right. Yeah, so I feel like, yeah, the game, like, emerged. I mean, it's a little frustrating because I feel like week one, we got to know a lot of fun dynamics on Water, and then we, like, didn't really get to see them much. Mm-hmm. And then this week, we got a lot from Blood. But I feel like I really enjoyed both of them, you know, like, and people are here to play. And I'm just so surprised and excited at how much Sandra is getting to play. It was really my take home from this week because I really, like, felt like, okay, you know, what can you do but hide? But it's like, she can't hide no matter what. She's the 2-time winner and people aren't going to forget that. So she has to play and she's playing. And so, yeah, I mean, I had a ton of fun with it. I think I in general love Butter versus Water. So I definitely agree with you that the, I never having seen a non-elimination tribal, which I think is that kind of something that happens.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Yeah.
So that was
welcome to Australian Survivor.
Right. That was definitely weird, but also like if it's fun. And it feels like it's much more fun because of the loved ones element than it would be otherwise. Yeah, no, I thought it was a really fun week of Survivor, honestly. And I was like sweating and excited and one general thing about like Australia, I feel like the editing, like I feel like US Survivor has gone so hard on like that every tribal needs to be like a huge surprise to the audience, you know, that they like almost don't set up always like the explanation of what is happening. And I feel like this, like the editing I've seen so far in this season has been very much like, I'm always like stressed and unsure at tribal, but I also like feel like I understand what probably will happen in a way that I enjoy more personally. So yeah, that's been nice.
I think that we should understand parts of it because it's 70 minutes long. Every night it is. It's a long, it's a lot of content to watch multiple times. But I think that what you're seeing with Australian Survivor is it's not subtle at all. So like bringing up like Erica, for example, I mean, I feel like that was an anomaly for US Survivor in and of itself, but like even more so with Australian Survivor that will like really push out these winner edits to you and like not be subtle about it. But I wonder like how much Sandra is interacting with that, because she's like such a main character. She absolutely deserves to be, because it's like A, good content, B, such a pool, she's super funny, she is running the game. We kind of have to have that. But does that mean that someone who will emerge possibly later, if Sandra's not long for the game, or I mean hopefully she is, but like if she's not gonna win, will someone emerge as a winner that didn't need to be like front and center at the beginning? I think that could be a bit of a difference to previous seasons. But I enjoyed in this week for Blood, like we got to see the dynamics. Like last week for both tribes, I said it was like pretty homogenous, but like we knew who were the people on the bottom basically and kind of who was a little central. This time, at least for Blood, like because of Sandra, really, we see it just divided up once and then twice, like split into these voting blocks. And like that's the strategy I love, where I'm like, okay, here's what everyone's doing. I know how they're connected to each other. I really, really enjoyed that about the week. But you mentioned non-elims. Mm-hmm. I should have warned you. This is what we do. Commercially, we have to have non-elims because they refuse to make it more people, and they're just a too few people for the amount of episodes that they're ordered to. Evie, like, you need to know about Australian TV. It's a lot. It's not just Australian Survivor. Like, Australian Survivor is, like, the least. It's going up against shows that are on, like, 5 times a week for hours and hours and hours. It's, like, it's a really hard way to create, like, this game show content.
That is wild. And like you said, I'm watching literally Celebrity Big Brother now. It's like these shows are just on all the time. What am I going to do when US Survivor's back? And it's like, wait, there's one episode a week? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. But it's the way that it's packaged is that they assume people are missing an episode here and there because, like, who can sit every night like I do over and over again? And like, that's why they have to have these, like, repetitive confessionals and, like, keep driving home what the dynamics are so that people, like, oh, you were making dinner? Like, here's what you missed. That's the way that the content is done. Yes, it's so different, but it's commercially necessary. But it kind of started the ball rolling where they had to have these non-elims, so they had to have twists, and then it became not about the non-elims, and there was twists for the sake of it that didn't even kind of save an episode. And I'm going to say something I never thought that I would say. All of the twists this season so far have been fun, pretty much fair. I have no complaints, like, which is a crazy thing for Australians. I think maybe that's why I'm enjoying it so much. Like, the cast is pretty good, but I think the blood versus water theme and those, like, inter-tribe dynamics, I'm loving that aspect. And I love that all the twists are fine. Like, I will say this right now, that the way that this non-elim was done was my absolutely favorite way that they've ever done it.
What are some of the other, like, options?
So they often do this where that's, like, was the original non-elim where, you know, two tribes are there either like watching or they both go to tribal council and they just vote someone off to the other tribe, or like they can be kidnapped. There's been mutiny. There's been a lot of like tribe swap or individual tribe swap mechanisms instead of a vote. But that's usually very, very unfair and has ruined a ton of really great games, because what happens is you'll vote someone and they'll go to the other tribe. So they go to the other tribe, happened last season, happened famously in 2017. Like Tara, for example, she goes to the other tribe of
the opponents of everyone who just voted that person out. Uh-huh. And they're all like, oh, we hate them too. And she's like, no, I hate them the most. And they're like, well, tell us everything about them. And she's like, well, here's why they're the worst. And then those tribes swap, and the mastermind of that vote, who doesn't deserve to be, you know, punished for pulling off a good vote, especially if there was no way to know, which we'll talk about here, there was, but like, especially if there's no way to know that that wasn't going to be an actual elimination, that person gets voted out for that reason. And I just thought this has been balanced so well by the blood versus water theme, because instead of sending them off to your enemies and like the enemy of my enemy is my friend, they get welcomed in with open arms, like they're now in a much better position than you are. That's not fair. Whereas Sophie gets sent to their loved ones. And as Sam well said on the mat, was like, well, if there's a majority of us who voted you out, there's a majority of them who, like, the obvious plan is to be like, hey, can you finish the job? So like these really central loved ones where it's like Sandra to Nina or Sam to Mark or Jesse to Geordie. Like there's a lot of, you know, like Amy to Khan, like all the people that were involved are pretty central. And it's like, well, finish the job. And she comes in with a much harder road that I don't think she managed super well, but it still is a much harder road. And like she gets a lifeline, but it's not like she's home on that. So I just thought the way that the blood versus water theme balanced that was the best I've ever seen it. And then she comes on and this is like new dynamic with KJ. She's a very emotional player, clearly. So she carries that entertainment well. I was just like, every part of this, no complaints from me, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like, you know, obviously I've never seen it play out that other way without the loved ones. But I think, yeah, I think it was perfect that it ended up that, you know, she was voted out. She is still in the game, but she is in a bad position, which she should be.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, like it should be a hard road to come back from literally getting voted out. Yeah. And I'm sure we can talk more in depth about, you know, how she goes about doing that. But yeah, I thought that was very fun. And, you know, all the fun signaling that we got, obviously.
Oh, my God.
Sandra.
I can't, like, Evie, I just want to say, like, it's my favorite thing that's ever happened. Like, the Queen of Survivor, there are people who love Survivor who aren't watching this, and the Queen of Survivor stands on the mat, and it's like, oh, but we need to tell our loved ones, how are we going to do this? She looks at Nina, and she makes a throat slit motion. Like, she's like an actual mob boss.
So freaking good.
I can't, like, it was worth it all for that moment for me.
So good. No, no, I loved it. And yeah, twist-wise, I mean, there's a really large number of idols, but like, you know, that is what it is. And so far I feel like that's been affecting the gameplay in mostly fun ways, mostly because everyone knows about all the idols, right? Is there a single secret idol? No.
Yeah. Right. No, not for a while. No, you're right.
So I think that's always fun when the advantages are kind of, you know, not so secret. And then the, what's it called? The super idol then just immediately was counteracted. Like there is no super idol. So yeah, all in all, I think really fun setup. Nothing to be too mad at.
Yeah, it was so weird this week because I'm like, what is this feeling inside me? And then I was like, oh, I'm not angry at all. What is going on? Like I'm usually I have to devote some energy to being angry about like some decision. But I thought it was great. And another good part of it was that, again, like this is a little bit of Australian Survivor 101, but if they say the tribe will be watching your tribal council, I know it might make more sense for blood versus water, but that means something will go weird. Like it's never happened that they've been like, they're just going to watch you. Okay. But by now you've gone home. They watched you go home. Like, no. Like something's happening where, you know, like maybe the other tribe, like they voted people out before and then the other tribe has to vote themselves on whether they'll save you or send you home. There's always some sort of mechanism. So I know that there was a lot on Twitter about like, how could they not know? And they seem to make a much bigger move in sending out Sophie. Like if you know, you do the conservative move of like sending Juicy Dave out. But I'm sure they knew. Sam even has a line in talking to Jesse where she's like, well, what if we do this and she stays? Could be about an idol, could be about shenanigans. I'm pretty sure it's about the twist from a former player. I would be shocked. I genuinely can't even accept the thought process that they didn't know that this would be a twist. I think that they made the decision within that. And of course, we'll talk about their logic and whether we agree, but there's no way they didn't know. And that, again, to me, is really, really key to this because making a decision when you don't have all the information is one of my pet peeves. And then the anger would have been rising. But right. The fact that they can like that now at this point is like such a reasonable precedent that it's not even unfair. Even the JLP is saying like, they're just watching. Like if you don't know at this point that shenanigans abound because the other tribe is there, like that is pretty much on you and your lack of research or like lack of understanding at the thing that's been there for 6 years at this point. Like it's completely a reasonable precedent. So just
the perfect monolith. I can't believe they did it. Like, we've been trying to think of them. It does require the theme, but we've been like brainstorming how to monolith for years. And, like, they did it perfectly. I'm just no complaints. I don't know what's happening to me.
I'm so happy for you that you get to be
so
happy.
I know. I don't understand it. It's
join
weird.
Me. This is the feeling that I've been having. I'm literally watching the shows and I'm not on them. And so it's just fun. So join me. We don't have to be mad about stuff. We can just watch it and have fun.
It's bizarre. It's just a bizarre feeling. But yeah, a lot of fun stuff. I'm even enjoying kind of like they bring Shay over, then they have like the summit. All of that like intertribe mingling I find just very enjoyable. Kind of like the difference in strategy of like Shay coming over, but then like using that really socially, and Sam saying that she kind of wants to not focus on her relationship with Mark at that point. Like, there was a fun duality in that that I thought made sense. Just like giving the players that decision. Just with those cross tribe dynamics, like it takes all round. What is happening?
and just like in for Blood versus Water in general, I mean, it's just Survivor. You know, obviously the strategy is very interesting, and like I think that's what keeps people around. But also the human drama is really the core. You know, and the strategy swirls around that. And what I love about Blood versus Water is you have built in emotional stakes. You know, like we care about, like, you know, often in a non-Blood versus Water season, you have someone say, you know, something sweet about their loved one, you know, like, oh, I just miss my husband, you know, whatever it is. But like, their husband is there. We know them. I'm also rooting for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just such a fun element that just for me as someone that I definitely get like emotionally drawn into people when I watch these shows, like it's really working for me. It typically works in Blood versus Water, but I feel like this is almost more so. And maybe it's because like, I know you've talked about last week, like the couple, like almost all the people left in the game are pairs. Literally everyone except for Juicy Dave. And so it's so much more like the emotional weight is very, it's high. I'm loving it.
Yeah, it's really interesting to watch the theme develop in unique ways. For example, this week was the first time we ever saw two loved ones have an idol even at the same time, you know, but like at any point in Khan and Amy. I thought that was like this really fun. Again, like I love like the culture and the little kind of things you pick up on. You're like, oh, Khan had that pole idol and he handed it to Shay. And now his sister finds it on the other tribe, like that fun duality that you can find. And in the voting confessionals, because there was like an extended voting confessional scene on Template, multiple people called out that they really wanted to flush Amy's idol, particularly because also Khan has one on the other side, and that's just very dangerous. So just like watching that develop is really interesting to me.
Wow. So how does everyone know because of when the two tribes were together?
Yeah, I mean, well, firstly, Juicy Dave could say because they got it together.
Sure, true.
And then they've had the summit, so there's just like so much information just going across the tribes.
Right.
Super interesting. And then there's the fact that, you know, three pairs and Sophie, like one was voted for and Juicy Dave and Brianna, and then two have gone home. So there's the three pairs in that, which is like so consolidated, which is so different to the way that we saw it happen in US Survivor. And Jay said in an exit interview on 10 Play, that like he really felt that vibe out there. And he felt like when Alex got medevaced, or I'm saying medevaced, like it was a quip. I'm not going to call it a quip.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah. So when Alex left, he felt that that made him vulnerable because people were seen as less valuable because people were looking at their connections on the other side. And if you couldn't bring that like double connections, you kind of meant less to the alliance. So it's actually like seemingly not just a coincidence, like this very active thing. Just finding it fascinating that these developments of the theme.
Yeah, it's so funny because I feel like it's literally been the opposite in US Survivor where it's been, you know, if you have a loved one, you're a big threat because you have a loved one, you know, and maybe it's just, it's really just like these are always going to come down to like singles versus couples, and the couples have been able to maintain such control in this game that snowballs, you know, I was talking to my partner about this and she pointed out, you know, that has been a thing, like the couples versus the singles in the previous Blood versus Water. But I don't think the couples have ever had this much like overwhelming power. You know what I mean? Like it's really interesting.
Well, it makes sense. And I doubt that this precedent is why anyone is doing it. It probably is that like kind of connection lack that you have when your partner goes. But like what happened on the other Blood versus Waters is that when you lost your couple, you were emotionally freed up, which is kind of like, you know, having your partner there is obviously its own benefit, but like there's this other benefit that the individuals have, and they all teamed up together, and like Natalie really worked with that kind of freedom to do what she wanted without like having the partner thing weighing her down. And Tyson did connect with people who lost their loved ones in the pre-merge, in like Monica and Jervis. And like now that opportunity has not been given to people because there's no one to link up with because they keep going home. So I don't think that that's purposeful. But if right. you are in a pair, which everyone is, like it does make sense for everyone like not to allow that to happen.
Right. I mean, and then you have like the one person who didn't have a love, like Juicy Dave has Kate, who also doesn't have her loved one. And he's like, yeah, we should get her out because she doesn't have a loved one. Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. If that had been someone he could have connected with, this might have been a very different game. Although I don't know that Juicy Dave is necessarily like leading the vote. We should really find a loved one for Juicy Dave, considering he's alone out there. Like, can we get some suggestions?
Could JLP? You the chaos that him and Brianna together would have provided, I'm honestly sad we didn't get that.
I don't know, because but before Brianna went, he was David with zero confessionals, who was just this regular person. Like, has Brianna's chaos
transfer of the dream?
Yeah. It's not the dream, though. It's not the transfer of the dream. I think it's the transfer of the chaos. That's what I feel like. He's like, that's now part of him. Like, I think if Brianna was there, maybe he would just be a regular guy. But true, without Brianna there, like, she's the juicy in Juicy Dave. That's what makes him Juicy Dave. That's the she's the juice.
The juice is like vengeance.
The juice is just her spirit, I feel. And it just like flows through him instead of blood. And now he is like this hybrid Brianna David person. And that's where Juicy Dave comes out. I feel like, am I making any sense? Because to me, there's like a ton of logic in that.
This is making perfect sense. And I'm going to use this moment. We're on juice, water, juice, blood, liquids. We're here.
Yeah.
I have to tell you this thing that my partner has been talking my ear off all week about blood versus water. Are you ready for this?
Okay. So much.
Did you know that the original expression of blood is thicker than water literally means the opposite of how we think it, what we think it means?
What does it mean?
Okay. So in the original, I did some Googling. There's conflicting things, but one really old usage of the blood is thicker than water meant like your blood brothers, meaning your friends like from the battlefield, is thicker than your water, meaning the water of the womb. So it basically was like blood meant friends and water meant family.
To be fair, that makes no sense. Like, this, like I understand why it changed because this one is what you're connected by blood. Like that is literally family, and water is not that.
So blood. But I mean, I'm for a lot of people, I'm sure that's true. But there's definitely people in my life, friends that I've gone through things with that I like. You know, it depends on your relationship with your family. You know. So, you know, maybe if you had maybe it's because you don't have battlefield blood, you know, that your water is thick. Okay, we've lost it. But I needed to put this out there.
Look, you said water is thick. I don't know why everything sounds so gross. I keep saying juicy in it. Like, it's the blood thing as well. There's Juicy Jesse now. Dave was also Dangerous Dave in Jay's final words. And then, like, Jordy at the reward kept saying things with juicy over and over and over again. I'm just done with all the liquid on this thing. That's just gross. I don't know why.
I think when you said you brought up the Lizzo song Juice last week, and you were like, Juicy Dave's theme song. I was like, please don't ruin Lizzo for me.
That ain't gonna ruin it. It's so good. Evie, I'm so glad you said that because I have multiple dramatic promos ready for today. And I will work them in one by one. So I couldn't just put it to one because I just have so many. Let's put one in seamlessly now. Have you noticed that everyone is royalty? That's so another thing about Australian Survivor.
There are many kings, and we came in with the queen. So it's like, it's a lot.
There's a lot. And within that, they're saying crack up Queen Chrissy, which has been more on the ad material than like on the show. But we had like King and Queen last season. We've had a King of the Jungle. We've had just a lot of. Anyway, so I thought dramatic promo for the obvious Kings versus Queen season that we have enough people for.
Incredible.
Oh, I just can't wait to be king. Silence. They all start walking up a hill. No? That's my first one. I've got more.
Wow, I can, first of all, totally see that. Second of all, you have such a good voice. What is happening right now? Wow.
I like studied singing performance in university, and now the only way I ever use singing is like in trying to seamlessly work in dramatic promo songs every week on the podcast.
Wow, I feel like that's a really, really good use of your talent.
It was worth all that money. It was an expensive course. It was a
they should
course.
Get you should get these recorded. I mean, I don't know about Australian Survivor, but American Survivor has been loving like a random weird song sung by a random person, like the Winners at War. You better get ready. You can do that. That could be you.
Well, because like literally that's where my mind goes now. And I'm like, maybe I should make an album. But let's be honest, I got actually the suggestion from Kristen on Instagram. I put out the thing like, what should the dramatic promos be? And this whole thing, the whole week, obviously like Sophie and Sam, massive breakdown there in that relationship. From the Blood Tribe, I thought, now we've got bad blood.
Mm.
And then like their faces. It used to be mad love. Like, that's why are they using that as the promo? Why do the dramatic promos stop? Why?
Because, put them all season. You gotta pay Taylor quite a lot for her content these days.
Do they? Like, did they pay the Bee Gees? Like, how much are they paying people? I think we're in Australia. No one cares about us. No one knows what we're doing. You can put any song you want. You can use the Beatles.
This is incredible. That, I mean, that's perfect. That's absolutely perfect.
The entire week, I was just like, take a look what you've done. The whole, like, and in that dramatic way as well.
And now I've heard there's even more bad blood circulating around.
It was more fun before it got a little toxic. We'll talk about it. I was like, can I still do the bad blood promo? I'm like, yeah, it's in my head. I'm going to do it.
You're good. You're good.
Well, okay, let's get into those bad blood dynamics because I want to talk it through from everyone's perspective. And we've got to start with the queen. Who just, what is going on? How is she doing this? She is just seeing through people a mile away. It truly feels like a superpower at this point that people be like, I'm doing this secret thing with the secret group and the secret plan and no one knows. Like, cut to the sadder confessional where she's like, that person's doing a secret thing and a secret plan with a secret group and she thinks no one knows, but I do. And like, how is she doing this?
It's incredible. It's incredible. And that is the stuff, you know, like, the experience must just be such a huge factor. It's like she's literally seen this happen so many times, you know, it's incredible. And I will say when she started the whole targeting of Sophie thing, I was a little nervous that she was maybe going to put herself out in front unnecessarily. But it wasn't just that she spotted Sophie as the perfect target. She also like perfectly executed that, I feel, where she like got a few people in on it. Right. I think like pretty quickly she pitched it to Amy and then let Amy go out and like do all the dirty work. And ultimately it seems like Amy got blood on her hands. And most importantly, Sam, who had so much power and is clearly seemed to be who Sophie is like super mad at. And like the name Sandra wasn't, you know, wasn't like attached to that at all. And then if you, in episode 6 at Tribal Council, so I don't know if you, I mean, I'm sure you did, but I like picked up on at the Tribal Council, Sandra's like, last Tribal, people just told me, you know, vote for Sophie. And it's like, you told them. You were the one that told everybody. Like, it's so good. It's so good.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, Sophie doesn't seem to think that it was Sandra and like has said on social media that she like didn't know until watching it back. And that's what gets me about it. It's like, firstly, when she goes to the Alphas next time and has to throw heat on Amy, they're already kind of primed for that because they probably think that Amy's the one who got them last time.
Yeah.
So even though there's distrust with everyone, there's at least equal distrust with Amy's group, if not more. Then also what gets me is that every time they like try to put the votes on Sandra, I mean, I actually thought the Thruple were pretty good in this. They like took like the Alphas individually and they all had their own reasons. But the reasons are always like, because she's underestimated, because she's, you know, innately threatening. She's not as great in the challenges. The reason is never even, but also she's running this right now. Like, it's not that she's not threatening just because she's a two-time winner. It's not just like that kind of broader threat. Like, also she's running things now. Like, she's at the top of the hierarchy now. We should take that out now. She's like one of the only people to vote correctly in all of these votes. How can we not be seeing this? Like, that just shows how well things are concealed.
Right. I mean, imagine if Amy had said to them, Sandra came up with the plan to vote Sophie out. You know, but I feel like she did it so like quickly and effortlessly. And also you get the element of, I'm sure Amy wants to like claim that as her move and things like that, that like literally it seems to be like erased from the narrative. But we saw it. Like, we saw that that's what happened. Yeah. It's well, really good.
Amy says to Jay, like, Sandra wants it. Like, I feel like that was the most it could be traced to her. But then, like, Amy's going around and making the connections. And then it's like a she said around, like, well, who really came up with this and who's really to blame? Well, like, Sandra kind of half mentioned it, but then, like, Amy got it all in motion. So I think it's amazing. The way that she has the awareness to know the group's forming so that she gets to the alphas first before, like, Amy and the thruple can. Because she's just looking at it as like, well, I should probably deal with that threat. By the time they're starting to have those conversations, which again, I think were like astute conversations handled well with the alphas, but there's probably a couple of factors like the idol, which we'll talk about. But Sandra's like already got in there. She's like already got the ball rolling because she's three steps ahead, because she sees what you're doing, because I'm pretty sure that she has a sixth sense.
Yeah. I mean, she lit Sandra seeds. I mean, Russell tried to make seeds his thing, but Sandra, she planted those and she... Yeah, she totally planted the Sophie vote. And then, like you said, she planted the, you know, we should get break up the thruple. By the way, I die every time Sandra Diaz-Twine says the word thruple. Yeah, really incredible. Right.
Yeah.
No, I just think she did it in such a good way. And I think, she has this ability to plant the seed and walk away and you forget that she's the one that planted it. Like, it's so good.
I don't know how this at this point people doubt what they're seeing. Like, this is what it is. Firstly, I wrote a whole article on the Sandra thing of why she's so good. We'll talk about the article, but awareness, I've always said, is quite possibly the most important skill in Survivor. Like, there's probably like innate likability and just like socialness that those two for me like really lead the pack. I don't know what I would choose, but like awareness, if you could ask me like what, if you could be amazing at one thing better than anyone and go on Survivor, I might say like the most likable person ever, but then that's threatening. Yeah. Awareness. If you peak awareness, and Sandra, I think I'm willing to say like is the best ever to do it on awareness. And I don't know how people can doubt it. So look, a lot of people are asking what's the casual response to Sandra. I said, please don't make me go find out what the casuals think. But I'm committed to the job. So I did write that article about like the history of Sandra, kind of explaining like why she's so good and like the fact that you're underestimating her is like, kind of the whole point. And they posted it on Twitter and like Twitter's very much like, love you, Sandra. And then they posted it on Facebook and I got kind of tagged and I was like, all right, I guess this is my chance. My God, I can give you now, I can report back from the field. They can talk about like, being like blood brothers and like going to war. I feel I come out of that. Like, my God, it was like so negative.
Oh, negative. I didn't know yet what you were going. Let me.
No. Like, you thought it would be positive? You need to meet the Australian fan base, Evie.
No. I was pretty sure negative, but I was still waiting. I was like, are we going to get a blindside here? No.
Yeah, no, I try to like cue the dramatic music, like, you know, like really loud dramatic music, like Australian Survivor does. No. It's exactly what you think. Yeah. They don't get it. They hate that she's arrogant. We don't like tall poppies here in Australia, but their favorite contestant, the casual consensus favorite.
Yeah.
Well, I guess like King of the Jungle, who I love as well, but a non-winner. Golden God, who was calling himself the Golden God before he ever won. But that, and that's their favorite. But Sandra's too arrogant. I'm like, this is an interesting distinction. I wonder what the difference might be between these two men. Yeah.
The mysterious X factor. And I'm sure it's not, oh, that she deserves to be arrogant because she's literally won the game more times than any other player in history. No, it's probably, yeah. I mean,
well, that's what gets me. It's like, this is a woman at the top of her field. One of two people in the entire franchise who was a two-time winner, the only time to do it on a non-winner seasons where it didn't have to be done. It's improbable that it was done. She comes in and she says queen stays queen. Like, it's not her opinion on this. Like, it's her title. It's like saying to the Queen of England, hey, what's your job? And she's like, oh, I'm the Queen of England. And they're like, well, that's arrogant. Like, no, it's her job.
I mean, it's not monarchy in general. It's not my favorite system, you know?
Yeah. Unless it's Sandra, in which case I'm very much like, you know, that I'm happy to, yeah. We should make a crown about Sandra and Nina because I love the crown. Oh, my God, that would be an incredible show.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like not worth even, I mean, yeah, there's clearly misogyny is involved in that, obviously, like, and Sandra is, you know, such a confident, deservedly so, badass player who happens to be a woman, and yeah, it's not surprising to me that that is a take, and it doesn't matter that it's Sandra, like, I mean, yeah, I mean, if you look at the response to, like, you know, I'm just fresh off my season with, you know, Xander and Erica, I mean, Xander took to the end the person that got 7 votes, and there's an entire, you know, there are so many people that are just do not understand that he ever did anything wrong. And that is just, you know, that is the world that we live in. So, you know,
like, I'm never going back there. I didn't like it over there. It was scary. And like, and also really frustrating to me because a lot of people were like, I don't understand why she's so good. I'm like, well, you're commenting on the thread of the article. Read the article. Like, I've explained it to you.
Yeah.
And a lot on the edge, which was so irritating. Like, I had to tweet about it and also rant about it here because I said to Peter, I was like, it's going to take a lot for me not to go to the thread and just call every person stupid and then explain to them why. So I have to get it out here where I feel like most people kind of get it. I haven't been back. Like, that was before this week. Do you think that she changed minds? Like, do you think that people are, you know, have they seen it now? Because if they don't see it now, like, they don't want to see it. Like, they really don't, because man, did she make it work this week.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to guess that. I mean, no, first of all, no, because like, if you're vehement, if you're to the point of posting hate comments against someone, you're not susceptible to like receiving new information, I would say, as a general general note. Although I have received DMs like, man, Evie, I was so wrong about you, from random strangers, which...
Do you like those DMs? Because I don't like those. Like, I don't like that.
I find them pretty hilarious, I would say, because it's just like, why would you say that to someone?
Yeah, like, why would you say that? People don't like that. There are other ways you can phrase that. So you, but you don't need to know where you started.
Exactly. If it was a person in real life, I don't think I would enjoy that at all. But it's kind of funny in a DM, I would say. But if you're out there thinking, maybe I'll send every one of those, you don't need to.
You can just do that. Don't do it to anyone. I mean, yeah. Look, I've heard anecdotally that people are like, people's casual friends are saying like, Sandra's great, I want to watch her old seasons. My dad is the height of casual, and like, after every episode, he's like, wow, she's good. I don't know, like, he seems to really believe it. I think he also knows if he didn't think so, he might lose me as his daughter. But I'm not saying that it's like this monolith opinion, but man, that thread was just like, curse. It was curse thread. Like, I don't know. I'm like scarred from having been there.
Oh man. I mean, it's also just the thing of, you know, people really, like, what makes an amazing Survivor player doesn't always translate to really good TV. And like, I think for Sandra's first 2 seasons, you know, where she won, it was a more like subtle game for a lot of it. I mean, she's still always, when she has confessionals, is amazing. And she played amazing games in both of those. But it is really funny that I think, you know, like things like Game Changers, where she was way more visible for a lot of it, she gets more credit for, which just proves that people are kind of dumb at watching the show because she got out in that. You know what I mean? But
but like the credit for me in Game Changers and even in this, and that's what it's always been. And that's what I said in the article. If people would just click just right above where you're commenting. Anyway, the credit for me in something like Game Changers and this is that I think when she's under the radar, some people will say, well, that's a less controlled game. And that's like how she has to play. And there's like luck involved. And when she comes out so strongly in this season, I think this season is more similar to a Game Changers season, and it's enthralling to watch. But when she comes out like that, it reminds you that she can do whatever the hell she wants. She has the skills to play however she wants. She's playing under the radar, being underestimated, because she knows it's how she's perceived and she's working it to her advantage. Once she can't be under the radar because she's a 2-time winner, she'll turn it on and she'll, you know, take names. She can if she wants to. It's all very intentional. It's all based on awareness and perception. It's how she wants to play. So for me, the beauty of her playing strong is showing, like, she really chooses every time how she wants to play, and she kind of like maximizes on that play style and like really does it well. So I love kind of seeing the diversity in that play style from her.
Yeah, that's so true. And you think of like some of the other greats of Survivor, you know, like Boston Rob comes straight to mind, and like he is not versatile in that same way, you know, like
he's gonna play how he wants to play. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If he can't play that way, he gets out right away. Like, it's just, you know, he's got one style. And so it is so impressive, like you said, to see that she has that kind of diversity of styles that she can really adapt to anything. And also when you think, like, she's not like an under the radar personality by nature. Like, she can get loud to what the fuck, you know what I mean? Like, that's her personality. And so the fact that she's able to play a quiet game, like, I totally always knew was intentional. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So she's the best.
Yes. On that adaptability as well, like Annabelle had a tweet about this on Twitter, obviously, because that's where you tweet. But she has adapted to the ultra physical Australian Survivor landscape by not putting her hand up to sit out of every challenge, because even though she can, like, she wants to show that she's, like, there to play. Like, even in that, just, like, watching, researching, being like, what's important to these people? Like, it's just, it's those little things. It's brilliant to watch.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like you said about the social game, there's a lot of, like, subtle things. You know, the social game, I think you can't necessarily always tell from the edit, but something that I noticed was, like, there was a moment, when she was like, who made this rice? And, you know, whoever said it was, and she was like, oh, it's good.
Pretty good.
And the way that everyone reacted, like, you could tell they like her. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and there was a very similar moment where on the water tribe where Khan, like, made the tortillas or something, and then Nina ate it and was like, this is a 10 out of 10. And everyone was just laughing. And I was just like, people love really that. Like them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's really, really cool to see. And those to me are the signs of, like, they're integrated in the tribe. You know what I mean?
I,
like,
love that. Yeah. That's so connected. That's amazing. Yeah. No, really, really, really good from Sandra, obviously. And we should talk about Michelle as well, because, like, she has one confessional, but she seems to be, like, the Krista, Courtney, Michaela, like, cool, fun female duo ally to Sandra, who's always in the hammock with her. I feel like that relationship is quite crucial because, like, as much as people might like her, it's not very much a relationship game for Sandra, and that she has voted against the factions of most of her tribe at this point because she has to slice through in this, like, really aggressive way, because if the status quo is maintained, then eventually they'll be like, wait, no, Sandra, and they'll take her out. So she has to keep changing it up, keep it super fluid, like something Chris Nubicki has said. But that means that you, like, sever connections. But Michelle is always there with her. She gives her that information about Amy's idol, which is, I think, really good intel, obviously. The fact that so many people pointed to that threat of both siblings having the idol very well could have pushed them over the line, as well as, like, Sandra getting in there early. But, like, really, that's a very strong case when, like, the alphas were the swing vote. So, yeah, Michelle, even with just the one confessional, ends up, I think, being pretty crucial here.
Oh, totally. And, yeah, I would love your take on I really wonder how much that I really felt, you know, in watching it, which obviously is hard to tell, really, like, that did tip the scales, because if you're considering,
I think so.
Who is a bigger threat, Sandra or freaking Juicy Dave? Like, it's not even a question. But, like, when you throw in, oh, Amy has an idol, and also now knowing that also everyone knows that Khan is an idol, like, I really feel like that did make it make a lot more sense for everyone to go with that plan. And something about, I really liked the way that Michelle, it seemed like she had that information for longer, right? Because she, from what we saw in the edit, you know, there was that whole thing where Amy got the idol, and then it seemed like very closer to tribal was when Michelle told Sandra, which, again, this is edit. So, you know, who knows if that's actually the sequence of events. But I like her knowing it and deciding when is the time to tell it. And it was the perfect time to tell that information. You know what I mean? I definitely think Michelle got herself into a great spot. And it's like, why would you, you know, the thing about Sandra, she will be loyal to you, you know, until she can't. But, like, you know, she saved Courtney at least 1 week in Heroes Villains. So, like, why not stick with her? You know, it's a good spot to be in.
Also, what a privilege. Like, so jealous of her. And she's not the super fan of the twins. Mel, who has, you know, no content, she's the super fan. And there was all the stuff pre-season about how, like, Michelle really wants to, like, beat Mel at her own game. And it's like, well, the next best thing to that would be, like, I was Sandra's number one. You could take that, you know, to every Christmas for the rest of time. Like, I think that's why Michelle might be doing it.
That's so funny. And it's like, yeah, if she's heard about the show or, like, maybe watched a little bit from her sister, like, if there's one person you freaking know, it's Sandra, you know? I love that.
Yeah,
I
think if, like, my brother was on Sandra's tribe and he was hanging out with her the whole time and I wasn't, I guess there's a swap, so, like, fingers crossed, but, like, if I wasn't that person, I don't know that I could ever talk to him ever again. Like, I'd just be so jealous that that would just be the end of that relationship.
Yeah, it's really fair. No, but I definitely like what she's doing. I think it's a good spot. And, like, the reality is, like, Sandra might get cut at some point and Michelle will still be there with lots of information and
learnings.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit hard because, as you're saying, like, you're picking up on those great little moments about, like, both Nina and Sandra, like, being, like, you know, great cooking. But Australian Survivor is very much, like, tell, don't show, often with, like, these frank-bited confessionals. And we don't necessarily see as much of the dynamics. But you can even, like, firstly, Michelle tells us and we, like, finally get, like, the verbalized connection. But you're seeing it, like, they're always together. So it's, like, picking up on those little things. Like, it seems very clear to me.
Totally.
Okay, well, I want to talk about another person who's been an absolute power player, and that is Sam, who, spoiler alert, unfortunately for Australian Survivor 2017, but she went home in episode 6 of that season on what was a unanimous vote other than her and Mark, who was obviously her future husband. Tale of two seasons for Sam, because I think she is, like, killing it, as we talked about, like, how she lied about that vote. I mean, I guess, like, she's lying to the queen, who has the best read, so that's impressive. But you're also putting that lie on Juicy Dave, so it's just, like, such a good target for that. But, like, the fact that she and Sandra also seem, like, extremely close, she's also in the hammock all the time. Sandra's complaining about Dave to her, and she's just keeping a straight face, I think, is, like, the most impressive thing. And Sandra says, I don't forgive and I don't forget something that didn't happen. Crazy stuff. Yeah. And you don't know Sam from before, so, like, what are you making of her game?
Yeah, no, I am loving Sam. I think in the first week it was very clear she has, you know, amazing social game, amazing social connections. I didn't love her flipping on Juicy Dave at that show. Like, it just felt a little short-sighted and a bit emotionally charged, but I think she's played so well this week. I think what I'm learning about her is to just, like, and it's, you know, I didn't have the context of that she, I didn't know how early she got out in her first season, but I'm learning that I can kind of, like, trust her a bit more when I'm nervous. Like, for example, I was also a little nervous for her about making the Sophie vote because I thought that, you know, on its own, the Sophie vote seems good because you're getting out this powerful person, but where does Sam fit in after that, you know? And I think it seemed from what we're showing that after then Sam starts to really be in with Sandra. Like she's made, I think it like all of a sudden we're seeing Sandra, Sam and Michelle in the hammock all the time. And I think that was such a great way to be like, cause I feel like sometimes people make the move, but they don't think about what the group is going to be like after, you know? And I feel like she really seems to have intentionally, made sure that she's very safe in this group. And now she's kind of like pretending or like, you know, sort of like taking direction from Sandra, but clearly has a lot of probably more of her own social capital and can, I think she's in a great spot. I think she's playing so, so well. I loved all the subtle stuff. She was, you know, the little things of, I don't need to, you know, have Mark come over here now. He's my husband. Like I'll see him. Like that's, I think a great way to play that. Like I'm really liking everything she's doing. And yeah, and she's a boss. I'm really, really enjoying watching her play for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting when we're going to talk about like minority alliances for the bad, for like Sophie's clear, transparent minority alliance is going to get targeted, whereas a minority alliance does control this whole week. You know, the only people on the right side of both votes are this four of Sandra, Michelle, Sam, and Jesse, because they like go through with this voting block structure where they take out this like clear group, Sophie and the Alvis, and then they could just kind of go down the line on that. But then again, they're losing strength for challenges, possibly, if there isn't going to be a swap. And then Juicy Dave continues to be a target, and that kind of like blows up in itself. But also, they've defanged that faction because Sophie's gone. And now they're going to like defang this other faction so that they're just like completely and totally on top. And that's really a testament, I think, to all four of the people who made that happen and who were part of the majority in both of these like really complicated votes. So, I mean, for Sam, other than the secret vote, crazy, like just crazy to me, but like just from a positioning perspective, I think socially we see it in the little moments. Like every time they come back from a challenge, I feel like she's the one who's really like, who cares about the reward? Or like, here's why it was okay. And everything really giving that kind of like morale booster. I thought it was really, really good that they were the decision makers of the social vote. Like we'll talk through whether they should have done it. And as you're saying, like, you know, there's pros and cons to these moves, but the fact that they're in the position to even make the move, the fact that Sam seems really close to Sophie and they don't need her seven, they just need the six, and they still go out of their way because like maybe because she's a pair with Jesse or just that they won't make the move without her because she's so central, that really speaks to her positioning.
Yes.
She and Jesse as well like seem like this really, really strong pair. So I mean, just socially, I think she's just killing it.
Yeah. I think even I remember that moment too, where I think even Amy said like, we have to get Sam. And it's like, they literally didn't numbers wise, but they did.
You don't have to, you want to, right. You don't have to. Yeah.
Right. And I think that spoke so much. And, you know, as much as I didn't love the Juicy Dave flip, I think the way that she ultimately therefore very publicly saved Sandra probably is part of why she can integrate back.
Good point. You know? Yeah, exactly. Well, Sandra comes back from that tribal council thinking, Well, I think Kate has said since in the Exit with Template that like she feels that she was on the chopping block fully, and then Dave's kind of blow up a tribal council just made her the backup, which then she went home anyway. But like if Sandra feels any type of way about her even going further down the pecking order because Sam kind of made that vocal move and doesn't know that she voted for her, like that probably would explain why they seem very tight.
Totally, totally. It is a little funny that Sandra is so hung up on Juicy Dave. Like, like of all the like riot, like I feel like a classic Sandra way to win is you know, you're the enemy of someone and everyone hates that someone and that's how you win. You know, like you're the enemy of Johnny Fairplay and then you make a stand, you win. You're the enemy of Russell and then you win.
Yeah.
Is it going to work with Juicy Dave?
Juicy Dave cannot handle that. Like, it's not a fair fight. Like, we can't match it.
It doesn't have the weight that some of these other rivalries have had. But I'm loving it. I mean, it's fun to watch. But
well, I mean, it's the fact that Juicy Dave is such a meme that it's just perfect for comedic purposes for me. But like, yeah, look at the names of her five seasons. Like, imagine this being like a trivia question. Jordan Kalish, take note. In like a few years from now, it's like, who were Sandra's five famous male rivals from her five seasons? Like, okay, Johnny Fairplay, Russell Hans, Tony, Boston Rob, and Juicy Dave.
Juicy
like,
Dave.
What a pantheon. Like, that's that Mount Rushmore. Like, put the statues up. Like, it's just crazy. It's like probably like four of the most famous Survivor players you could get and Juicy Dave. Like,
and Juicy Dave. Yeah. I mean, if you're just consuming Survivor Australia via following people on Twitter and seeing their
you're
tweets.
You're so confused. Yeah,
I mean, but Juicy Dave is probably the name you see. It's Sandra and Juicy Dave. So
I'm obsessed with that. I'm not actually watching the show, but who is this Juicy Dave? Because he's like the most tweet I've seen.
I mean, that's how like I felt really before I watched.
Oh my gosh. That's, yeah, I mean, like, look, he's definitely a meme. But yeah, I think that like Sam and Jesse as this pair. I mean, I think Jesse is doing really well as well. Like, he's playing into the youth from a social thing, you know, which he even tells us about. So like,
yeah,
very intentional. He tells Sam that he'll take her lead. So it's that partnership, but he falls into like the role he wants. Sam is a very strong player, which I think is she's working to advantage this time, but she will lead out in front, as we kind of discussed with possibly even her dynamics with her marriage last week. So I think that Jesse can kind of like fit into that slot is really good for him. And he also is like in the majority of stuff. Like, I think he's really affable, like good self-awareness. I think he's doing great.
I completely agree. I think he is like definitely someone to watch because I think he's so in it, but he doesn't seem to be like at all on the radar of like how well he is doing. And it's like, you look at him and it's like, he's very like fit. He should be, I mean, isn't he like a triathlete or something?
He is.
You know, yeah. And it's like, the alpha males all being like, we'll be a three. Like, that's so silly to just put, you know, like, yes. Like, why would you be like, I'm a big threat. I know what I'll do. I'll be a three on a 12 person tribe of all the biggest threatening people, you know, like,
yeah.
Like,
no, well, I'll be the leader of that. Who's the most physically expendable. It's probably yeah, the right, one exactly. Thing you shouldn't do even more. Yeah,
exactly. No, but Jesse, you know, has so many, has that physicality, but has so, like, is so in with the majority, in with Sam. But I think, yeah, I think playing up the youth is perfect. Like, even down to his like Speedo thing. Like, I think it's all like, I think he's definitely a super fan. So I think it's all very, very intentional. And I really, really feel that if him and Jordy both get to the merge, I feel like they're honestly in one of the best spots because I feel like Jordy's in that same position on the other side where he, you know, is well-liked by everybody, very much in with like all the power players, including Mark, which would be very interesting. I feel like,
Awesome for real.
Exactly. But like, is not, you know, cracking jokes and things like that. Like, I just think it's really, really smart. I like what he's doing.
But then I have to ask you specifically as a juror who didn't vote for Xander, because I feel like playing up that youth, like, so when I watched his Get to Know You video before the season, I was like, I'm actually like a lot lower on him now. Like, not because he doesn't seem lovely, but just because he comes across as so young, and maybe that Xander thing was in my mind where I feel like he wasn't taken as seriously and kind of like the problems with that, like, yes, you'll be less threatening. And yes, maybe you'll make those connections. People will like you, but then will they respect it and reward it with the jury? Like, it should be a final two. So that might be an easier run for him and maybe just like try it against one other person who's maybe just less liked. But there are obviously like obstacles in that.
Right. I think the thing about Xander, it's not that the issue wasn't just that he's young. It was that he it was the like perceived inauthenticity of what he was doing, because he's not like a silly kid. He's like very much like says all these, like, I'm trying, it's
so serious. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the thing with Xander is he felt very young, but also felt like he was saying, I'm not that young. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like he was always like trying to, it's funny because he says that what he was trying to do was seem younger, but it felt like what he was always trying to do was seem older is how it came off. Like, put himself like in on the level with like people's much bigger life experiences. So it was actually the opposite, if that makes sense. And also he never, if Jesse gets to the end and says, I was playing this up, like, I knew that if you thought of me as this kid, you would take that, you underestimate me. Xander never said that, you know what I mean? He never said this was a strategy. And it really just didn't come off that way. Does that make sense?
I mean, well, as you said that, I thought like he should get there and be like, I'm actually 40 years old. And then I thought that feels familiar. And then I remembered that Mike already made that extended bit joke with Rob on Benjamin Bud and Xander. Benjamin Bud and Jesse. Like, is this what's going to, you know, like, but I think that he's vocalized an intentionality that he could vocalize at Final Tribal Council maybe more than Xander could or did.
Right.
I don't know that people's minds necessarily change, but again, with one other person next to you, not two, maybe to come in and be like, yeah, I obviously was thinking about it the whole time, that you would just see me as like really young and that I would just kind of like use being underestimated to my advantage. You've heard that before.
Right.
And like, it was completely on purpose. Like, maybe, like, I think there's something there.
Right. No, definitely. I mean, yeah. And just, yeah, Xander took himself too seriously while being young. I think if you lean into like, I'm young, LOL.
More twerking.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, well, twerking, like, it just comes off better, I think,
That's the juicy Jesse that they said juicy Jesse. Who isn't juicy now? No, too much of the royal thing and then the juicy thing. One per season of each. Well, not one per ever. Like, what do we know? Like, not every season we need a juicy, two juicy people and we're queen and two kings and it's too much.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, I mean, yeah, he'll have to prove it. And then the other thing is like, when you are combating a thing like that, a thing where you will be underestimated, you have to counteract it. So that comes with, you know, for Jesse, it means he's got to make smart decisions,
make
and
big moves.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, not take the wrong person to the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, cause that reinforces the thing that people were maybe negatively thinking, you know what I mean?
Yeah. There's a pathway. It's a bit of a narrower pathway in ways, I think, when you kind of like set up that perception, but it's something they're going to think about you anyway. So you might as well be aware of it. You might as well lean into it. Like, you come in at the age of 21, that's already a disadvantage in ways. So as long as you just know that and just use it to your advantage, because yeah, you can't come in there. I mean, the only other thing to do would be to say I'm 27, but he comes across as so young. Like, I think that he's doing the best that he can with it.
So yeah, and he's literally got his big brother there. Like, you know,
I'm the older brother, I swear. I know that Jordy is 25, but I promise you, yeah, it's a hard one.
Totally, totally. Yeah, yeah. No, and I think yeah, and that stuff, it is, you know, if you have him at the end versus, you know, Sam, who's like, I have a new baby or whatever it is, like, that obviously will be a hindrance, you know?
Yeah.
But I do think, I still think he's in a really, really good spot. And I like what he's doing.
So I need to ask for two angles where you sit on A, them taking out Sophie versus Juicy Dave, when Sam has had like the personal issue with Juicy Dave, seems to be close to Sophie, but then isn't part of this like group with Sophie. So it's like that numerical kind of threat versus that personal relationship. And then the added circumstance of there's another tribal council. They're definitely talking about it. That's the big move on the twist. So like, where do you sit with the move with both of those considerations?
Yeah, that's interesting. So, okay. In terms of, so I think, I mean, my instinct would be that it's not great to take out someone that seems as loyal to you as Sophie was to Sam, you know? However, like, which seems very, I mean, at one point, Sophie, I think, said when she was talking to Shay, when Shay came over, she was like, me and Sam are scissor sisters.
She said that. Yeah, it made the prime time slot.
Yeah. Okay. That is.
We do it differently here in Australia. It's a different code of what's allowed on TV.
Right. Oh, no. I thought you were going to say that meant something different.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can make
something up, but I'm not going to.
But I mean, clearly Sophie had a very, she as much as she says she was super tight with Sam, she also was talking a lot about the four, which did not include Sam. So yeah. The four being her and the three alpha males. So I definitely think it was overall a good move, especially seeing just how well she was, how strong Sophie's connections are with everyone in the tribe, where it seems like it was no problem, you know what I mean, to lose that. And also like seems to have really just like cut the head off the chickens of that alliance, where now that's just one less like powerful, you know, potential strategist or whatever in the group. I guess also, I don't know how much they were conscious of this, but in terms of the, you know, knowing that she might not be out of the game. I mean, vengeance is like a very dumb emotion to play Survivor with. and especially vengeance against the loved ones of the people that you need to work with. And so I don't know, you know, how much they could have anticipated that, but obviously they've spent a lot of time with her, and like the anger that Sophie brought into that situation, I just feel like completely neutralized her threat, like in the big picture. So a lot of this is, you know, after the fact. I was definitely questioning it in the moment, especially because it seemed like it gave potentially power to other factions in the tribe, like for example, the Thruple. But it seems like Sam has a good relationship with Amy, or like had with Amy. And it ends up that she just has so much social connection that maybe it doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Amy is talking to both Jesse and Sam about the Sandra vote in episode 6. Like they're both part of like every conversation. So I feel like she can kind of back herself. They can both back themselves on just being so well connected that they can like rally through that.
Yeah.
I think Sophie would have been loyal to Sam, at least for the foreseeable future. But I just think for Sam, like, she's so well connected. It's not like Sophie's her only lifeline. Like, oh, I'm so, so happy that I'm with a power player who has this type 4 that I'm not in, but like, I'm connected enough to. Like, she doesn't kind of need to rely on that. Like,
right.
She has tons of connections. If she gets rid of the Sophie connection, she'll have other ones that are important. She's not in the group. I mean, like, right. Sophie says to Mark that I think, like, you know, Sam didn't know that she was really in the group, but we hear it so many times. Like,
right.
Type 4. Awesome, foursome, my boys again. Like,
right.
That's not Sam. Like, she's not in that group and she knows it. And I think Jesse too. Like, Jesse is approached so explicitly as the last person, to the point where Sophie is like, we have these people already. You want to be the last one to be added onto that? You weren't a part of the construction of this plan. Like, it's so transparent. They're so aware of it. And even in like empowering like the Thruple or something, I feel like the Thruple, their power kind of like assumes the vacuum possibly, or would have,
right,
if it wasn't dealt with, that the alphas leave. But at that point, like they're kind of like described as one group against the alphas. And like, that's the target right now. Like, that's the threatening group. If you leave that in for one more round, you may swap and you never get to deal with it. They may find an idol, like do the blind side now when they aren't aware. And you know, like you don't have the numbers to split. So just like kind of get it done. What if she finds out that like you were planning this? Like anything could happen in those days. Dave blows up again. Who knows? You know, like
right.
You get it done now.
Right.
And you deal with that really pressing numerical threat.
Right. And I also think like from at least the way that we saw it happen, where the plan was forming and then it was like, okay, Sam, what do you think about this? I think for her to put the brakes on it would have been like exercising her power in a way that people wouldn't like, you know, like where people were like excited about this plan. And for her to be the one, like she already stuck her neck out because she didn't want it to be Juicy Dave and then did want it to be Juicy Dave. She already did that a lot. And I think for her to like a bit go with the flow of like other people's ideas and get and let them feel like, you know, they have power while her still maintaining the power herself is, you know, the mark of a confident player who, you know what I mean? That can be like, oh, I see how this plan that other people are working on works really, really well for me. And I'm not going to be the one to be someone's like obstacle in getting what they want. If, you know, so I think it was good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to be the swing because it felt like she was flipping on Sophie because it felt like that was a connection and Dave was a presumptive vote. But then again, if she like, yeah, is the one to stop the plan or to not go with it when it's like really ramping up, like she's not necessarily flipping, but she's like definitely at fault for it. So like in either way, she also leaves Juicy Dave in the game who she has had like this negative thing with, but also... what will Juicy Dave do to her? Like, no, like her name's never come out. Like, he's not even going for her. Like, there's also this like rivalry between Juicy Dave and Sandra, which is maybe good to just like have out in front and just have as this like juncture that might always and does end up being kind of like the way the votes end up splitting between like these two factions, which I think is really good. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of really good stuff happening there. Like, leaving Dave in the game, like, you've told like, everyone that he voted for Sandra and they believe it. And like, she's a puppet master on that. Like, she does, like, it's not like, what can you do to hurt her? And then on the twist, we have spoken about it. I just feel like if you are a past player, well-researched past player, a fan of the game, you're thinking, if you're going to get to a vote, like, assuming the other tribe doesn't just, like, straight kidnap someone before you even vote, which often JLP will be like, there's no vote tonight. This thing is happening instead. But assuming you actually go up and cast a vote, you're thinking, okay, maybe she gets swapped, which is what happens, which I think is the best guess, in which case what we ended up seeing play out will happen where our loved ones are there to kind of, like, pick it up, and hopefully she'll have, like, no power in that, and it will kind of just be, like, her on her last legs, mm-hmm. and we'll talk about it, but without the medevac slash quit, like, that probably would have been it for Sophie. Mm-hmm. Or it's, like, a send-save thing, which they've done before, in which case, like, your loved ones will just send her out. Like, why would they save her?
Right.
Or, like, she gets sent to an external island, which in Australia we've called Redemption Rock, Evie.
Wanna let okay.
you know? Redemption sure. Rock. Yeah. Sure. And, like, it's a challenge thing, which is unfortunate, but... or there's just like a random swap. Like, there are ways it could go, but I think like it was a good bet to think it would be insulated by your loved ones. And I think also you just have to like back the move at this point. Like, it is really hard to just be like, we're not doing this thing. We're doing like the conservative thing because there might be a twist and like Sandra and everyone's excited about it.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, no, I agree with all that. Just to circle back one sec, just to nitpick a little bit, I felt like it was strange that Sam didn't try to repair the Juicy Dave thing after. Like, they clearly had a really good relationship, and then he freaked out at Tribal, and it felt like everyone was being so mean to him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I felt like he was so pick-upable, and, like, good on Amy and, I guess, Jay for doing that, because that was just, like, he's not a threat unto himself. Like, he literally just, like, got nervous at Tribal, and, like, I just felt like that was unnecessary. Like, there's no reason why there has to be this, like, outstanding.
He has fallen over himself apologizing, like, let's be honest. Like, in the moment after, like, he's so sorry.
Exactly. So, I don't know. I just think that was a little bit silly to, like, let that linger. But, yeah, I mean, I think you just have to, like, back the move. And it's, like, also not totally clear, like, I don't know, is it that good to have Juicy Dave? I mean, it's just, like, it feels like you have to vote someone out. And so, like, whatever is going to happen with the twist is going to happen. But, like, Juicy Dave has also a lot of information about the tribe, you know, ish.
So,
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's talk about what Sophie was doing in that. Because, I mean, I feel like the first week all we heard was her being, like, I'm trying to water myself down. Which I'm like, what is water? Do you mean blue? And then, like, immediately in this week, it was just, she came out so strong. There was, like, this really transparent minority alliance. It was, like, so consolidated. You, like, really shouldn't use numbers in the way that you talk about groups, because then people know they're not in those numbers. Like, if it's just, like, if the group is named loosely, like, not alphas, because that also seems, like, explicit, but, like, something else, it's time to be, like, maybe I'm in that. But it becomes my boys. Like, mm-hmm. very specific, it becomes, like, awesome, foursome, that she's, like, at least using to us. I don't know, like, clearly that transparency is, like, leaking out. She's, like, driving home the Dave vote. Like, so many, who are you voting for? Like, Dave, every time. He's like, is there a split on this? Like, why is this, like, so necessary to just, like, hammer home? Like, it could not be a more simple vote to just vote out Juicy Dave. So there was, like, a lot of that, like, unnecessary vocal leadership. Strong four. Type 4, Culpeper Math, 4 and 11, not the numbers. Like, again, like, transparently approaching people last.
Yeah. I mean, and
yeah, like people saw it.
Yeah, saying to Sandra, just write down Dave. You know what I mean? It's just like,
oh, yeah.
People don't like that. Like, even not the Queen of Survivor, people don't like that. Like
Sandra, I mean, Sandra doesn't want to be dictated to, but that wasn't like, so that wasn't even Sandra. It was one of the alphas who said, they both, I think it was Jordan and Ben, like one of them said, vote Dave.
Oh yeah, that's one
said, he's going home either way. Like, right. Let's like, to compare to like how we like analyzed Nina's language, a really soft approach to language last week, which was like, like vote Dave. He's going home either way. You could not be less important to this vote. You mean nothing to us. It's probably you next. Like, that's what I hear in that. And even like something that Sandra says, like she's talking about the alliance, I think with Ben, Sandra walks up, it's just like, excuse me. And she's like, oh, I told Sandra, we all want her here. Like, think about that language. Like, even though it sounds inclusive, it's actually very exclusionary. Like, she has no choice in what happens. She has no agency. We want her here. The second we don't want her here, I guess that's it, Sandra. But at the moment, we are making that decision. Like, again, it's that very, very personalized language. It's the opposite to what I was analyzing of Nina last week.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with Survivor is you definitely want to be listening more than you're talking. Is like,
yeah.
A very clear rule. Sandra is obviously amazing at that. And we saw Sophie doing a lot of talking, you know, and all four of the people in that alliance, honestly. And I think, I'm sure there's something of like, also when you're with like literally these big guys like that, I could see why you might think like that is safe, but it's like literally 4 into 11. There was so much visibility, like you said, and including like, you know, she says when she goes to the other side, oh, I was the masseuse. Like, you can just imagine so much of her just like literally like rubbing them. And you see a lot of Ben putting his head on her shoulder. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not subtle at all. You just can't be doing that with this many people around.
Yeah. I mean, she like, cause then she gets voted out, but not, she goes over to water and like, this was a lot because she's like upset about it, which is fair, her to get blindsided, but she's like with all their loved ones and like complaining about them loved ones. Like a sentence that I thought like this just floored me was that she said to Mark, like, there's no bad blood. And again, I was like red. Like, yeah, Sophie really keeps trying to say blood and water. And honestly, for that, I really appreciate her. But she's like, there's no bad blood with you because you're a different person.
Okay.
If anyone were to come to me and say, I don't mind you, I just like, I hate your husband.
Right.
I'm sorry. Like I actually side with him. Person I met yesterday, like, right. but not the only person I met yesterday, person, if anyone's going to come to me and say, I have like really big issues with your partner in life, like your person in this world.
Yeah.
Like you're not the same person. Like, yes, we are. We are a unit. Like, I don't know if everyone feels that way about their spouse, but like, there is no question that like, that is, it's just a strange thing to say to someone about their
partner. And especially in a game where you literally, it's like, we're a partner in this game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's not like some sort of life situation where you could imagine some sort of gray situation, in which case I really, still very hard to imagine. I mean, like, I feel like she made some mistakes on blood, but it was mostly not that bad. And she's just playing also with Sandra, who's like, you know, amazing, and Sam, who I think is also really, really good. Everything she does on water is horrible. Like, it's just so bad. And like, it would be so, how, I mean, and maybe she did this and we didn't see it, but like, she literally, like, yes, she was blindsided by the majority, but she had three really tight allies that voted with her, and everyone saw that there were four votes. Like, did she not go to,
Josh, it would be Shay and Chrissy.
Right. Like, that's what you should, like, going to them and being like, instead of talking crap about people's loved ones, go to them.
To their faces. That's the first thing. Yeah.
Right. So, okay. Mistake number one. But like going through those three and being like, I'm so tight with your loved ones. Like, I'm still so tight with them. Like, when we get there, I'm going to go back with them. Like, give other people an incentive for you to stay there. Like, you know, and it was built in already because she did actually have three really good allies. And just also in general, it's like, when you get voted out, that should be a very like humbling experience. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand, like, it is very emotional. And like, I was not in the position where then I like immediately went back into the game. But like, when I almost got voted out at that merge vote, I felt like, okay, I clearly like did everything wrong and I need to like like apologize to everyone and like maybe, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the instinct should be, okay, I am humble and I need to like, you know, be a little subservient and really just like really like plead with people to keep me in this game. And she went in with literally the opposite energy and like mm-hmm. saying on the mat, like your loved ones should be nervous. Like what the like hell are you doing? Like, yeah. So that's a ramble, but I just really didn't like any of that, anything that was happening there.
Yeah. I mean, it made no numerical sense to say your loved one should be nervous. Like there is a majority of them. So just from like a numbers perspective, right. Again, with just counting really, just like the minority alliance and then this, like there's a counting problem. But I think there was a brilliant point made by Haley on Talking Tribal, who, spoiler alert, is like one of the best players of all time, did get voted out and come right back in. It wasn't her fault. Long story short, the game that made me angry. Like that was the anger that I felt. And then she came back. And she just kind of made this brilliant point about when she came back, there was a few things. So like to all the other players, her threat level's been cut. You can lean into that,
right?
Just in like the way that you approach players, and then coming, just being so humble about it, like really taking it on, like it was your fault,
right?
Making it super, super internal. Almost like Dave came into after he did get the majority of votes and just like making it a me thing. Like, I'm sorry that I did that. And then there's also the part of that that's like, well, what did you learn? Even Haley, who did almost nothing wrong. Like Haley was, it was a lot of the twist, but even she was like, all right, well, threat level stuff, got to deal with that. I'm the kind of person who needs to control everything. Maybe I'll let a few things go here and there, not need to like be, you know, deciding every part of that. And she has said that served the rest of her game really, really well. So she internalized. Yeah. Sophie externalizes. So I don't think there's really any looking inwards. It's everyone else's fault. It's not that she made Sam feel on the outs. It's that Sam was wrong that she was on the outs. Like there's no ownership in that. You know, it's kind of, it's everyone else's betrayal. It's not like, even if you don't feel that it's your fault, like just say it, because you're less of a threat and loved ones want that more. But also I think look inwards anytime you get voted out. What did I do wrong? How can I recover with this opportunity?
Like exactly. Like she just got saved. Like this is the time. Yeah. Where you really need to learn. Like you're given a gift of a second chance. Like you really have to take that. And like, yeah, it's frustrating to watch how she does handle. And it's like, even if you don't actually genuinely feel those ways, like it's one thing, like I think sounds like Haley like really felt that. Like I know that like I said, when I almost got voted out, I really felt that, like, okay, I must have like made a big mistake because like that almost happened. Even if you don't feel that, you need to pretend that you feel that. And like I said at the beginning, you know, like revenge is a bad energy. And it's like, I think the one time where I feel like it really worked well for someone was like, when Natalie on San Juan del Sur like felt like she wanted to like avenge Jeremy. And did she go and yell at John Mish? No, she like groveled. She was like, okay, yeah, great. I'm so cool with you guys. And then ultimately
had a bed with them.
Literally gave them like wine and was like, I'll get drunk you later.
Yeah.
You know? And that's how, like, it is a game and you need
it's literally a dish best served cold. Like, I don't know what that phrase used to mean, but in the way that I know how it means, like, it makes sense. Just wait, bide your time, get them later when you've built up a little bit more power. You have no power right now.
Yeah. And again, because she wasn't, like, she made mistakes, but they were on blood, but they weren't, like, that huge. Like, she really could go to Mark and be like, I was so close to Sam. I love Sam. I honestly don't know what happened, but I would still work with Sam again. Like, I would love to work with Sam again when I get there. Even if you don't mean it. Like, that's obviously the thing to say. Like, you know?
Even
like,
more so, Sam clearly didn't see it the way that I did, but that's on me. Like, I didn't make that clear enough to her. I'm, like, really feeling bad for that. Like, let's, like, make amends on that for me and you. Like, I'm not going to make those mistakes again. Like, no bad blood. Sorry, with them, like that was on me. I hate that I made her feel that way. And you know, if we can align, you'll never feel that way. I promise you. Like, I have learned my lesson on this.
Yes. And of course, the other amazing gift that she has available to her is that her sister, who actually knows all the dynamics of the tribe, is there, and she could just maybe be quiet and let KJ do all the talking, you know, like, which feels like maybe not realistic to their personalities in any way, but it's just like the tools are so there. Like it's just, yeah. And just to say, I'm criticizing a player, and I'm not perfect. I don't want anyone to think that, but you know, there were some obvious mistakes.
Yeah, that's literally our job to do that here. But let's get to the elephant in the room, to the kilogram. I can't believe I thought you meant kilogram. I need to get off social media. But yeah, like there's a lot of stuff happening external to the show right now. And I really do feel it has to be touched on because like it's mainstream. It's all over social media. There have been like pop culture news articles about it, which is like some of the most that Australian Survivor is being written about this season, which is like,
that sucks.
Pretty depressing in and of itself. So Sophie has massive following on Instagram, like 250,000 to 300,000 followers. And she's mad at Sam, like online. Mm-hmm. The first night when she gets voted out, but not, the only thing was that she her partner and her insinuated that Sam was a snake. Mm-hmm. But not much else was said. Like she didn't give Sam credit, but that's her prerogative for the move. Sam comes out and says she's getting trolled by Sophia's like enormous platform of fans. Mm. And you think that's sad because that's not really in Sophia's control. She has a big platform. There's like this really unique hurdle that Australian Survivor players have where you play against people with this massive platform that is just like really unique to the franchise. And like this scary thing, you know, internet hate is something like, you know, even I've struggled with. It was a tiny platform. It's something I'm like super sensitive to. Yeah. Last season there was a contestant who's in the opposite way, like this award-winning anti-bullying advocate, Rachel, and she has this platform against like online hate. Like I really want to use Australian Survivor as much as I can and as much as we all can to kind of not do that because the fandom will send death threats. Like they do for gameplay, for literally like not for things that, not that not anything deserves death threats, but like for literally playing the game. But that's what Sam's going through. The next night, I feel like it escalated. Her partner had, who also has a platform, she's an athlete. She had videos of like punching the screen when Sam is on the screen. Sophie comes out with like the widely circulated Instagram stories about basically how like, it's very vague, like it's vague gramming, but it's like Sam like knows what she did. It was beyond the game. Like it was dramatic. This is already after Sam has been saying that she's getting trolled. She said she kind of like caught up production, which I think like she's got a pretty good edit, but she caught up production about like the wrestling round that she had with Sam. She said she threw that to Sam. She later said that that like the reason that the guys stayed or her boy stayed around was because like Sam had promised that to her to throw this one random round and there's a random reward challenge. So like even Sandra's epic move that we saw last night, which was like the coolest thing ever, like Sophie actually organized that. So like maybe we should put that into choosy consideration. And I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about it and I hate that it is toxic.
Yeah.
Because even talking about it is toxic. The whole thing is really toxic and I want everything to be positive.
Yeah.
But like it upset me because I just feel like hard to go up against someone with a huge platform. Mm-hmm. Unfortunate to feel like that's being wielded to a degree. Like I would just really want it to be diffused. Like when someone's saying, obviously feelings were hurt. Sophie will have her side of the story. You know, I'm not there. I haven't been blindsided. I don't know what that feels like. Like clearly feelings were hurt, mm-hmm. but like, I still think any person deserves like a, hey guys, like please don't be trolling in my name. Like not in my name. Mm-hmm. Rather than kind of, I feel escalating the situation, bring production in. And now it's on Pedestrian TV. So that's really been like a big part of the week in a way that I think is really unfortunate because I love the week. The dynamics were super fun and all for Sophie coming out and yelling at people, you know, at the summer. Like that's just good TV. Like that's why they would have cast her because she says it like it is. Like that's her whole brand. But I feel like it just went to this like very personal, very toxic place. And it's really at this point gone beyond the game.
Yeah. That's really hard to hear about all that. And it's just, yeah. Like you said, I mean, it is a very emotional game. Like I personally like am someone who feel like it's the game. It's just a game. Like I try to not be like very emotionally invested in it, but that's very much easier said than done. And like, it makes sense that people do feel hurt by gameplay, even when you know that it is a game. But like you said, there's always going to be online haters. Like that is just always going to exist. And the one thing that you can hope for is that you can actually like the only people that kind of do understand what you're going through are your castmates. And like, you know, not that this is like the same at all, but like when I first came out as genderqueer, I received like literally like death threats and things like that.
What?
And, mostly.
Man, the internet is a horrible place.
The internet's a horrible place. I mean, a lot of love, but some really horrible stuff. And it felt so supportive that I like, I remember when I got the first one, I like sent a screenshot to the Yasa text thread, and everyone was so like kind and nice and like F those people. And like, just like, that is what your cast is there for. You know what I mean? That you're like, yes, you might've like hurt each other in the game, but like, you're all people that went through a thing together. And like, it just makes me so sad to imagine like that being directed by a cast, you know, a cast member towards another. Like, again, you can have your feelings. You can like, you know, you can yell at them on, you can send them private texts. You can go in your exit interviews and like frame the game that you want it to like, want it to be, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, but like to actually send people after someone is just sad. And it's the kind of thing that it like makes people scared to be on these shows because the internet is a horrible place. And yeah, it's just a bummer. It's just a bummer. I don't like that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess like saying nothing to inflame the situation would have been like, I guess like a neutral way to take that. Yeah. Saying like, hey guys, please don't, would have been a really positive way to do that. And then I think, you know, she didn't say like, go hate on Sam, but she also said like, basically this horrible person knows what she's done. Right. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but believe me, like it's enough for her to be hate worthy.
Right.
Yeah. I just think that that's like a pretty painful thing as well. Like, you know, on the show and off the show on social media, a lot of the word like integrity, which is the word that I really just don't want to hear again. And, yeah. And I was thinking like, why do I recoil so much at integrity used on Survivor? And I was thinking it's because when you say I have integrity, again, used on and off the show, you're insinuating that other people playing the game don't have integrity. Mm-hmm. And like the game does not decide who has integrity. Life does, for right. sure. But who you are off the island, out of the outback, we don't know that person. Unless you've crossed a line where there's like a handful of situations that like every fan could probably point to,
right.
you don't have more or less integrity for playing like a different way to someone else. There's no like moral high ground on this like game show that is poker, Monopoly, you know, like it's go fish. It's a game. Like we signed up to play it, and someone playing it in a different way or a better way does not make them less moral. And like insinuating that, it pains me, especially if Sophie says she's a fan. Like that's not actually the way that the game works. Like it's very much about like, and the fact that it's come up over and over, and it came up at like in the confessionals integrity, and it's still coming up, makes me feel like, again, it's like this hurt to being blindsided, to being bested. It's not a moral thing. Like it's a game thing. It's a strategy thing. It's everyone's entitled to play. No one is above being voted out. And yeah, I never want to hear the word integrity again in any capacity.
It is a game, and you would hope that people don't feel emotionally about it. But obviously they do, because it is like, it is such an emotional game.
For sure.
So it's, I don't fault her necessarily for having negative, you know, for having those feelings or like harboring that resentment. Like I think to some degree that is normal. Like when you feel really betrayed, you know, like there are people that just like, that's how they react to Survivor moves. Like, and you know, that's not the end of the world, but you do want to, I think, keep that to yourself. like, and just, it's one thing to feel that way. It's just like her gameplay, you know, it's like one thing to feel that way. It's another thing to be projecting that out in the world. It's so interesting. Also, I mean, this, in terms of a difference between Australian and American Survivor, I mean, we're not allowed to tweet things like that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I always thought that the restrictions were a little like maybe over the top on US Survivor, but I mean, seeing this, I mean, maybe it is really good to like have a cooling off period. Cause it is very emotional to you know, you might think you healed from it and then you watch it back and it inflames it more. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know that that's necessarily the reason why US CBS does that, but it potentially has that effect, which I'm pretty grateful for, I guess.
I honestly don't know that it's allowed now. Like, I feel like every season for Australian Survivor is different. We've definitely had seasons where people were like putting out like Andy's blog posts and Reddit threads about their moves. This season, it's not just Sophie. Like, people are talking. People like Sandra has been on Instagram Lives. Like, people are doing content. I don't know what they're really allowed to do. I feel like, you know, Sophie is a massive influencer who I think they really wanted to be there. I think like it's maybe beyond them to a degree.
Right.
Yeah, so it's a hard one. Like, I don't want it to be a negative thing. It's obviously a negative thing to speak about. I still wanted to touch on it because it's really been a big part of the week. And I feel like it's been like very hush, like until the Pedestrian TV article, but it was like, what are we talking about? Like, I keep seeing things like, what is it? And like a lot in the DMs. I wanted to get to it, and I want to, I guess, leave it on the positive note of like, if you feel upset about it, like, you know, the thing to do obviously is like to send positivity to Sam.
Yeah.
And just kind of lift someone up who is allowed to play the game.
Yeah.
Because that's what we all sign up to do, right? Like play and talk about the game.
Yeah. And Sam is, again, doing absolutely amazing. And like, I feel very, you know, as someone that had no knowledge of her in her previous game or anything like that, like I'm loving watching her play and I'm very emotionally invested in like her and Mark and their baby and like all that. So like, I hope that she is receiving that love. And like, for anyone out there that receives internet hate, just like picture the type of person that decides, not only am I mad about something, but I'm going to find that person and send them a hateful message. Like, is that a person whose opinion really matters? Probably not.
It is that, not.
Yeah.
Remember the avatar behind the words is what. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure. But still sucks to get a ton of hate for playing Survivor.
I hate that. I love Sam. So.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, should we touch on just kind of like how the alphas try to recover from this? We see them talking like, oh, we would have done the vote, like if we could have. Something like Sophie gets mad at Jordan later for sleeping with the enemy. But they do recover to be part of this like new majority. Do you put anything positive on them, or do you feel like, well, Sandra needed numbers, you know, and they were there?
Yeah, I mean, I guess when you consider that one option is to be like super mad and like, you know,
like didn't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So no,
I dare you.
Yeah, I mean, I think they handled it well. It seems like they also didn't panic, which I think is a good thing. Like, I think you get into, like, they could have, you've been, like, throwing out names left and right or, like, something like that. You know, I think they remain calm. Obviously, it's a very physical game, and I'm sure they do have, like, a fair amount of stock, you know, by just being these large guys in general. And so, yeah, I mean, I think they handled it pretty well. I think ultimately... yeah, like they went from the bottom to the swing. And I think that, you know, you have to give them credit for that.
Yeah. I mean, am I underestimating Jordan would be my question, because this is what we see. We see he's close with Amy. Like he is authentically close with Amy. Sandra says like, all right, we'll talk about the split, but we're not going to put the primary on Amy, which is an interesting decision again that we will talk about. But we're going to scare her into playing her idol. And I think when the queen says to you in tribal council, this is the time to say it. Say it. Like,
oh,
that'll scare you. That'll scare you right into playing it. But even before that, we hear Jordan say, I'm really close with Amy. And then he goes and tells her to play her idol. Like, what is this? Because I tweeted and said on Talking Tribal, like, you really didn't help. Am I underestimating him? He either bluffed her and like wanted her to flush the idol because he is in on this plan against, you know, Jay and her faction. And the confessional is being unfair and cutting him off before he says, I'm really close with Amy, but got to flush that idol. Or is it as we saw and are my instincts correct that he just was like, oh my God, I'm friends with Amy. Amy, be safe, play your idol. It's like, well, she didn't need to play her idol. Like she wasn't the primary. She actually could have kept her idol and that would have been best for her. If you wanted to give her any information, it would be to tell her that. So like, which one is it? Because I mean, I lean to the latter. I have been, but then I'm like, well, maybe that's really unfair.
Oh, that's interesting. I actually liked it. I liked that move for him because I think it was the latter, but I don't think the latter is like as bad as your framing of it, in my opinion. Like, so I think he, you know, is with his alphas. They decide the biggest threat is Amy having the idol, right? Mm-hmm. And clearly also the element of Khan having the idol. Like, that's a lot of power. But he, I mean, you got to give him credit of those three guys. I mean, he's the one that we've now seen has one other strong social connection aside from those two guys, which is Amy. And I think it seemed to me like he made the decision of like, I do still think flushing the idol is smart, but I also really don't want Amy to go home on this split in some way. And, you know, obviously it turned out that Jay had the four, but I kind of liked him being like, I want this move to happen, but I also, the outcome that I want to happen is Amy loses her idol, but Amy is still my ally, because he doesn't know necessarily what she's going to do with the idol down the road or like, and maybe it could help him. But yeah, maybe he just thought that flushing it makes sense, but that he really doesn't want her to not play it and go home with the idol in her pocket in some way. And then he gets to keep Amy, but also has reduced her threat. I liked it, honestly.
I'm coming around on it if it was that conscious, because again, like the threat of both siblings having the idol, he is voting against her faction. Should she have that power in the game? Like, no one in the season seems to want that. Like, idol flushing seems to be, like, a major, major priority for everyone. It was just that the way that it was framed to us, and it's probably not fair to take the Australian Survivor edit. It was just like, he literally went from Sandra saying like, gotta flush it, and him saying, I'm really good friends with Amy, and then him saying like, play your idol. Like, it's probably Australian Survivor being so unfair that the second half of that confessional where he's like, but I wanted to flush it, but I want to keep her around, like that slept on the dining room floor. And then he just looks like the world's idiot, let's be honest.
But it's not like a crazy job. I mean, he knows what the outcome of saying that will be, which is she will flush the idol and she will stay, right? I mean,
then he's really good because he comes up to her with so much transparency. He's like, don't tell anyone. Like, this is what I'm saying. It's like, this is the tale of two moves where he's either transparently being like, play your idol, which is wrong and not correct as an ally, as it's presented to us. Or he's trying to flush the idol, knows she isn't the primary, is really leading this move to make sure she loses the idol without her being like the first person on the vote. In which case, that acting's pretty incredible. Like, it fooled me. He came across as, like, really genuine in that interaction. Like, is that what it was? Because then stock on Jordan is high.
No. I think it's a simple... I think you're thinking about it still from 4D, and it's more like 2D, but it's not bad 2D. It's like...
Yeah.
Like, I think it's like, he knows there's a plan against that faction, and he's like, on board with it, but he just doesn't want Amy to be the one who goes home. And if so, if she plays the idol, she definitely won't go home. And he doesn't then also get the heat for, you know, everyone being mad at him that he screwed up the plan. I mean, I also like that he didn't tell her the full plan, but I didn't read that as dumb. I felt like he was maybe also trying to like stop it from turning around on him. Like, he didn't say, oh, here's the mastermind of the plan, here's all the elements. Like, I think it was as simple as, I don't want Amy to go home, but like, I don't think that's necessarily a bad move for him. You know what I mean?
This is what I love about like so much coverage around the show. It's like at hour 2 to 4, I thought that was silly. But now at hour like 10 that I'm at with this content, it's like, because on Talking Tribal, I'm like, that was really silly, which it might have been. But then like now I'm thinking, well, he tells her that, but he's not in on the plan. Like, he's definitely playing a degree of both sides.
Right.
Like, maybe there's more to it. And maybe like I've been underestimating him, because even on the split, My brother and I went back and forth around this split.
Yeah.
They're very, very cautious. Like, they have Jay as their Edgardo, is like the third option no one play the idol for. But then they also have the numbers to split the vote. So you could have gone like all on Jay. You could have split on like Dave and Amy if you didn't want to involve Jay in it. Like, you know, Jay's name kind of unfortunately comes up there for him. But I still thought very overly cautious, obviously works out. But I think what you need, if you are like the Sandra contingent of this vote, is you need all the alphas. Like, it just takes one alpha, even just a Jordan, to flip, like, depends on what side of the split you're on, but either you're flipping to a 4-3-3, no idol needed, or a 4-4-2 with the Intel and Amy's idol. Like, you've won that vote on a plurality. Mm-hmm. So you really need like all the alphas to stick around. So Sandra is dictating a bit where she's like, this is what we're going to do. But the one thing is, she like, it's an alpha who says, I couldn't tell who was talking, but it's an alpha who says like 4 on Jay, 3 on Amy. And she's like, that's perfect. And we'll just like socially scare Amy into playing the idol. So while it seems to not make sense to not put Amy on the primary, like there is a world in which she doesn't play her idol and she comes out of that with her idol intact. Like, you have to put the votes on the person with the idol. Like, you have to make them the primary. But I think in just kind of like that social move of not making Jordan's connection the primary, of letting them lead it, like giving them some say in it. Obviously, they try and consolidate the numbers that they need in all of the alphas. They trust that read and they're correct in it.
Right. No, I totally agree with that. And I also wonder if there was an element of, if they had done 4 Amy, 3 J, for example, and then Amy plays the idol, so now it's a tie, 3 Sandra, 3 J. I wonder if she feared that on the tie revote, they flip to her, because now they've accomplished the goal of flushing the idol.
That's such a good point.
So I don't know that was necessary, but I felt like it was too much risk for her to let herself have.
Such a good point.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with that. So smart. Like, she must be thinking about it. This is absolutely brilliant. So yeah, I mean, I think they get a lot done with that split as well, because even like the groups are split across. It's not like all four of the Sandra, Michelle, Jesse, Sam contingent on like one vote. Like, it's very much like, look at us, this big happy group making like a big happy move, rather than it being like voting blocks, which we all know that it is. But I think they do a lot there, and there's a threat of the idol to get this vote across the line. And have someone like Jay leave over Sandra. And there's like just a lot of social parts of that. But I love your point. That's great.
Yeah. And also, just to put more praise on Sandra, when she did that seed earlier in the episode where she was like, you know, they're coming for you. Oh, but Amy said, yeah, she'll do any of the guys, mm-hmm. not you, Jordan.
So specific.
So specific and so smart, because
she
Jordan
can't be lying.
Right.
So specific. Yeah.
Right. And Jordan would obviously be like, that's weird because me and Amy are super close. But she like included, it was just so good. So
yeah,
good.
Like it's exactly what she said used against her. Like she right. fully throws her under the bus, but in a way that's very easy to believe. It's easy to believe because it's true. But Jordan would be like, Amy would say that. Like that does right. speak to our connection. Right. Should we touch on the thruple as well? Because
yeah.
I said last week, I thought it was interesting that Juicy Dave took Khan on the reward. I said like, maybe he's close to Amy because the move there, the presumptive move is to take the loved one over connection. We see this week that they are close. In fact, they are right. two of a thruple. So I right. feel like, you know, that kind of came out of nowhere, but it's clearly, I think, been probably the relationship dynamic. Also made a lot of sense for the Sophie vote. She goes to Jay and Jay is connected to David and that. So we really right. do see those dynamics throughout, I think.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, again, like, I don't think, it doesn't seem like Amy really did very much wrong. Like, mm-hmm. except it just get power. You know what I mean? And, like, this is such a tribe where if anyone's getting a little power, you know, aside from Sam and Sandra, basically, they're getting chopped. I think Dave was such a pick-upable person. So I don't know when she got him, but I think that was really smart to get him.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like, yeah, the biggest issue was deciding to, you know, try to make a big move without necessarily having a good read, I guess, on your threat level or like the connections that Sandra maybe like had within the tribe or things like that. But I don't think she did really so much wrong. I mean, the other thing is that from the edited version, it seemed incredibly obvious that Michelle knew that she had an idol, or like that it would be very likely that people would guess that she had an idol. So that was kind of strange that she didn't maybe anticipate that did happen. But again, that could have been editing and it might not have been that obvious. Although ultimately Michelle did know that she had an idol. Then the one like glaring mistake, once you know that everyone knows you have an idol, why would you not tell Jay?
Yeah.
Like that was
like
that
once Jordan says that.
Right.
Yeah. You might like at that point it gets done.
Right. And maybe who knows like the timing, maybe, but, that seems a little, that was strange.
Yeah. I mean, I think the flaws, I agree, aren't that bad. I thought Amy did great in the Sophie vote. Like, yes, she's made out to be the puppet, but she also has those connections to make it happen.
Right.
But then like for the second vote, I feel like they were just a little bit out of their depth and like, again, being seen with the idol, as you said, but like also the transparency,
right.
you know, Sandra's spidey senses and Sam, I think, is even the first one to mention it. So obviously everyone was kind of telling that they were a group. Not getting to the swing votes as early as someone like Sandra does, and just like that massive threat level, like kind of like the boldness to come for the queen at a point, like it was some big things they were doing. Like I think they were just like a little bit out of their depth. I like the way that they spoke to the alphas. I just feel like, you know, going up against like Sandra and Sam, who are so good, like they just lost that battle.
Yeah, and I think the thing is like on Survivor, like it's easier said than done maybe, but you want to be spending more of your time with the people that you're less certain about, you know what I mean? Like when you, and this is the same thing that Sophie did, like when you have people that you know are with you and you like really like have that trust built, you should now be like spending all your time and energy courting other people, you know? And so like, if you're Amy, you should be spending a lot of time in the water with the alpha guys. You should be spending a lot of time in the hammock with Sandra. You know what I mean? Like, because those are the people that you don't have. If you remember in the first episode of my season, like, when we got back from the challenge, Liana and Tiff go off together and I went straight in the water to talk to the guys. Cause like, I know Tiff and Liana are with me. Like I need to focus on the people that I don't know where they are. I just think, it's editing. I'm sure she did talk to those people a lot, but like from what we saw, people are very much spending time with their allies, which is the last thing you want to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like those like basic mistakes, but I don't think like near to like the extremes of like what someone right. like Sophie was doing, but I think right. kind of out of their depth. I will say, like, to play her idol, read the formula of a public idol. If they have mm-hmm. the numbers at the vote, you should play it. It definitely could have been her on the primary, but like just thinking again about your point, it's actually so brilliant. I spent the whole morning discussing with my brother trying to work out, so why did they do this hybrid strategy of their Edgardo type, the third type who's not going to get any votes, but then also split it? The reason is, like, you want to split. Like, if you have the numbers to split, why just pile seven on someone like Jay? Like, you could, but, like, you want to, like, basically protect against that if you can. But then I was like, well, then why didn't they just do Dave and Amy? Like, how does the third vote of Jay become necessary when they can split? And that's because Sassandra, if she's going to play the idol on Dave, which is a chance, or herself, which is a strong chance, that four could be as good as out. Like, if she saves the person with four votes, that could be done for Sassandra. So, like, that third option on four is perfect, but then you've still split just to give yourself the chance if she, like, somehow plays it on Jay, you haven't piled votes on him, and then you are at 3-3 and the rest of the group benefits, and maybe you do too. So we solved it. Oh my God. Like, yeah. I can't tell you how satisfying this is for me right now. That's such a good point.
I am so glad we got you back to the joy. You know, it's great.
That's so good. I will say with Amy, I really appreciate that. Like, whenever she paints someone as a target, I notice her doing it with, like, Sophie and Sandra. She's always, like, so positive about it in her confessionals. Like, they're just, like, this really, like, big threat, social threat. Like, it's always, I just really enjoy that about it.
Yeah. I really don't think Amy did very much wrong. Like, I just, she's playing against literally one of the best players in the history of the show. So, you know, I think she went about it in a pretty, like, mild mannered way, which I also think is good. It's just, yeah, when the team is, you know, Amy, who's pretty good, and then, like, Juicy Dave and Jay versus Sandra and Sam, like,
that one.
Yeah, you know,
and someone sees you find the idol, very rough going.
Yeah.
All right. Nearly 2 hours into this podcast. Should we talk about water?
Let's do it.
There's not nearly as much, luckily, because it would be a 4-hour podcast. One question we got a lot of, we'll talk definitely about KJ's split plan, but, like, a big part of this is that Shay volunteers, not just, like, to flush her own idol, but to get votes. And I feel like this was just, like, really a talking point this week.
Yeah, I honestly, like, missed that in my first, when I watched the episode, like, because I was texting with my friends, and they were like, why did Shay volunteer? Because I was like, how did this even happen that Shay got, and she volunteered to do that is very strange. And I mean,
where do you sit with it? Because I feel like everyone has an opinion on it.
I mean, what is the benefit? To me, like, the only thing that's good about it, I mean, okay, I guess as I'm thinking, there's two things that are good about it. You know, show you're a team player, you're in with the group, whatever. But it's just, like, you never want to get votes. Like, that's very, seems weird to me. But I think the other thing is, what it would have made sense to tell Khan that the plan is we are pretending it's Sophie, but it's actually Shay. Because that's a believable plan for someone as good as Khan. And then it explains why there's, like, extra conversation going on. But it wasn't clear to me, and maybe you know the answer to this, like, did Khan know that I didn't really understand what Khan thought the plan was. It seemed to me that he thought the plan was just, we're all going Sophie.
I mean, is that such an unbelievable plan, like, given the conduct?
Well, only because he's good. And it's like, if you're already doing this extra thing of Shay is going to get votes, to me, the useful thing about that is to be able to talk to Khan about it and make him think that he's in on a plan. Like, that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I don't know. I think the problem with that is you're like, well, we're going to target Shay because she has an idol. And then Khan would be like, but so do I.
But he's the guy that told everyone he has an idol. So, like, he clearly, like, didn't think that would be such a big target for it. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, doesn't that kind of make sense? Like, I feel like if you're Khan, you think you're, like, in the total, like, you know, power position in your group, I think it's a thing on Survivor, at least in my experience, like, is this too easy? If it feels too easy, like, maybe it's not the real plan. You know what I mean? And, like, so it makes sense to me, and good on Khan for realizing that. At least, I mean, we don't know if he was going to play it, but he definitely was suspicious. And so I just don't really get. So what was the purpose of the Shay vote then? The Shay thing. Okay. Yeah.
So before the Shay thing, like, a few things on the Khan idol play. Yeah. It's not terrible for anyone other than Sophie and possibly KJ, will talk about if Khan plays as idol. Then you have flush two idols. Khan, who you have relationships with, is still there. Like, he's probably very, very angry, and he is a powerful player, so that's not ideal. But, like, he probably, like, someone like Mark probably mostly does want Sophie out, even if he's been targeting Khan, and there can only be one King K on the tribe. But I think, like, the reason that KJ's plan was so great was that it was just, like, this easy out that it could go any way, and it was pretty much fine for almost everyone, which is like, okay, Khan goes with the idol, he was powerful, Sophie stays around, that's annoying, we'll get her next time. Or, like, Khan plays the idol, he's here, that's fine, Sophie goes, she was annoying, like he still played the idol, and he's like the idol is gone. Like I feel like there's no, like they were trying, I think maybe for KJ's sake, which was nice, like they were trying to really like pull the wool over Khan's eyes, but like even if they don't, like it's fine. So I think like having to make like a whole other plan to blind, like I don't know, do you even need to do that? So I think that I don't know that it's so necessary. And I do think the fact of like telling Khan you're targeting her because she has an idol when he has an idol, like would be a blood flag for me.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's fair. I mean, so you still didn't explain to me what the purpose of the Shay part is.
Okay, so the Shay thing. So,
okay, wait, so I guess I'll address this first part separately. Yeah, I agree with everything you said, except that, like, I think, you know, blindsiding Khan in that way and not getting him out is, I get, like,
pretty dangerous.
Like, it's pretty dangerous. And he's so good and, like, he's the kind that will pretend like it's fine and it won't be fine. You know what I mean? So like, and you have to think maybe a swap or something is coming. Like, I don't know. I think that's a little risky. I think even in the episode, Mark says, you know, if you take a shot at the king, you have to kill them, you know, like, so I agree that it's not like the end of the world, but it's definitely, I don't think it's that great. Again, it's like, what is Sophie really going to do in this game? Like, I would rather probably get Khan out. Especially also everybody, like, you know, is he going to figure out that Mark was like talking about this so long ago? I don't know. I really didn't like that, by the way, from Mark, that he like brought this up so early on.
I guess at least everyone was on board with it. But yeah, there's a lot of time that to be found out by a good player with an idol.
Exactly. Exactly. So I don't know. I mean, I think that that's all. I definitely supported the move. I mean, yeah, it's not the end of the world if he does play. And like, good on KJ. For the best plan is like when it feels to everybody like it's even in more their best interest than yours. And it's like the only person that it's bad for if Sophie goes is KJ. So like she did. Yeah. Great. I mean, obviously great job on her for that.
Yeah, I mean, it was such a good plan. Like, I really love the 5-3-3 split, which again, we're talking about Shay, but like Shay volunteers in that. And like, there was not a lot of reason to not go for Sophie. Like, their loved ones are making throat slit motions on the mat. How is she going to get out of this? But like, to give her the fighting chance of, well, this does, like, it felt like it made sense to everyone because it did. Like, you could get Sophie out, or you could maybe still get Sophie out. And she's like such a good distraction here and such good bait and such a good backup. You're not in the firing line of an idol. Let's flush a couple of idols and no one's going to suffer for it, except maybe Sophie, who's like definitely going home anyway, with such a great plan from KJ. And I do agree, like, if you're taking a shot at the king, yeah, like try and hit. You want Khan more for sure. And I think him coming back to camp when he'd like not been part of that would be pretty dangerous. I just don't know that you need it. You want it so much that you're not making up the Shay plan and like kind of complicating it when Sophie is great bait. Like, I don't think it's so unbelievable that Khan is like, are we all just voting out the person our loved ones just told us to vote for?
I agree with all that, but then it's like, but the Shay plan does exist. Like, this is why I'm like, but it's like, to the once the Shay plan does exist, I don't think it's crazy to tell Khan that that piece happens. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's silly, like, with the level of difficulty of what they're trying to do. And have the most connected person in the tribe think it's the simplest plan ever. Like, I don't think that was that good if they were trying to actually get him out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I don't think that it would have worked, because I think what we miss, and it's hard not to know, I think KJ's plan, like, would have taken hold. So I think, like, good on her for that if that's true. But I think Khan, like, clearly showed he was suspicious. Yeah. He was either trying to, like, scare everyone off by, like, basically bluffing with the idol and like the outfit paranoia, or he was actually going to play it. And I think he was actually going to play it because, again, with read the formula, if it's a public idol, which it is, and they can split the votes, like, you should play it. So I think the way that it was even delivered to us by Sophie, by even the previous Leon, was like, Sophie was saved by this. But then Khan is telling us, like, they try to flush my idol. And that confessional was interesting for me because, like, it showed me, A, Khan is aware, so he probably would have played it. I mean, I feel. And B, he seems to really, really take that out on Sophie. Like, Sophie comes to him and he's like, no, they try to flush my idol. And he goes back to a bunch of people, like Jordy and Joshua, in on the plan, and is like, oh, she tried to like work with me and stuff. And he's made it this very individual thing. So while I agree, you don't really want Khan to come back to camp. It is at least also that other positive. If he does come back to camp, like, you can pull it all on Sophie and KJ, who's really put herself out there for this, which is probably another thing KJ is offering them, which makes it even more beneficial. Like, you don't even have to suffer for it. It's like, yeah, it was all on them. And he seems to really be going with it was this individual thing. So, like, I agree, you know, you don't want him coming back. That's not preferable. But if he does, there are some outs there definitely pushing that blame, which makes it not a terrible thing.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. It really just depends on what people's desired outcome truly was.
For someone like Mark, I feel Mark, even though he's been pushing Khan the most, like if I'm in Mark's position, I'm thinking like, flush two idols, I'll deal with Khan, but at least he's not like openly bad mouthing my wife and like yelling at her.
Right.
But then other people who Sophie's not as mad at, like maybe they like are really looking at the Khan threat. So I feel like everyone's probably got their own.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like Sophie's guaranteed final two to me. You know
what I mean? 100%. Yeah.
Like to me, taking out Sophie is like so unnecessary. Like,
yeah.
She's either directly yelled at or yelled about the loved one of literally every player left in the game. So like,
yeah.
So to me, Khan's the bigger threat, but I mean, and just going back to this whole idea from Mark, I mean, I'm really liking Mark in general, but I feel like Mark, if Khan is gone, you're the biggest threat, right? I mean, look at you and like you're a returner and you're really connected. And if I was Mark, I would be sticking to Khan for a lot longer, especially because it seems like Khan does actually really want to work with him. So I don't know. I feel like Khan being there has been a pretty good shield for Mark. And once he started throwing it out there, you have to kind of, you know, actually make that happen. But I would be kind of letting Khan be out in front this early in the game, I would say.
Especially because he does say that when you like strike at a king, you shouldn't miss. And then like later in the week, he is described as King Kong. So yeah. That probably speaks to that. In terms of like why vote out Sophie, you know, over 30 days left in the game. You know, difficult thing. Boston Rob can like drag a Philip. You know, Sophie's not going to go quietly. She's not like kind of like, wow, I'm really down in the dumps. I guess that's the end of my game. I'll just sit here quietly and be a part of your vote. Like, that's a dramatic player. Like, that's a lot to handle
right.
for the next month of your life.
Right.
But I still think, like, obviously, bigger threats abound. Should we talk about why Shay did this? Should we
get yes, okay, play? Please.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to hark back to another thing that was done on Australia Survivor All-Stars, where Dirty Harry, because everyone has a nickname, Evie, need to let you know. That was only one of very many nicknames for Harry.
Okay.
But he offered to put votes on him, not with an idol. He offered to be the split. It was just after a swap and he was trying to like make himself really useful, consolidate this group, to be the secondary on a split that the player could have had an idol. Like it was actually a risk in a way that Shay didn't make. And I just think that energy for me is what Shay is doing. It's like this radically loyal, trustworthy thing
right.
where you're going to play your idol anyway. Like it probably speaks to her position of being like a strong physical player, a social player who doesn't really need the target of this idol, wants to kind of flush her own idol anyway, but then to kind of go above and beyond. I don't know that it's necessary, but I actually don't hate it to be like, you can trust me. I'm not going to just say I'll play the idol and I don't play the idol. Like you can even put votes on me. Like that's how included in this I am. And the reason I like it is that Shay will come back from playing her idol and getting votes and be part of the group and is like part of this blind side. If Khan plays his idol and gets voted, comes back, he's been left out of it because he's not volunteering that. Is there a world in which Khan is like, I don't want my idol, I'll flush it too, and Sophie will go, then he's like not part of this like antagonistic blind side. And I think they're very different players who are in very different positions, so I'm not saying it's the same. But just seeing Shay be so much a part of that when she'll be making the same move as Khan possibly, which is like get votes and play your idol, and she's integral to that. So I think for like speaking for her positioning and just like offering up that trust and loyalty when you don't want your idol anyway, you make the plan like more attractive for KJ to offer. So there's that connection there, more attractive kind of for everyone. You like offer yourself up on a platter and maybe you get some goodwill back. It's very bold. I think it's like a conservative move that is radical. It's like this radically conservative move that's so active. I think it's a very interesting thought. It may have been possibly a little too much. Like that's a lot, but like I'm not really against it.
Yeah. Okay. I hear what you're saying. Like I hear what you're saying and that all is pretty good, but my counterpoints are you have an idol. You're not a target. Keep the idol one more time. You can always do this again. You know what I mean? But like,
everyone's a target with the idol. Like, look at what's happening with Amy.
But not her. But like, actually not her.
But maybe that's because of the way she's wielding it. Like, maybe she's like, it's chicken or the egg. Like, is she not a target with it because she told everyone, like, hey, I'm flushing it next time? Or because she's just like so well liked that no one, or like just in that position of the tribe, no one's thinking about it. Like, I don't know that we can tell where that started.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I guess my other counterpoint would be, I do feel like there's some amount of like, once someone is the decoy, they're an option to be the decoy again. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, that's obviously dependent on like the person. And like, I don't exactly know where Shay fits in the social dynamics, but like on Yasa, it was like, oh, Tiff was the decoy vote. And I feel like it felt chill to have her be the decoy vote again, which she did not like, famously.
Yeah.
So I don't know that you want to put yourself in a position of like, vote for me. Like, look how fun it is to write down the name Shay. I don't know. But I hear what you're saying. It doesn't seem horrible. I like what you said, like that all makes sense. But I just think you have an idol and you're magically not a target. Like from what we're seeing, it seems like she's going to swap with an idol. Like imagine if she had just given it away for no reason and she really needs it at the swap. Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I hear you always use it. Or yeah. Imagine if she gets to a swap, can back herself being this like really social, likable person with connections who's physically strong. That will save her at the swap. But actually having an idol will make her a target. Like there's the other part of that. It's just like, where does she stand in the tribe? She is so strong. She seems well-liked. Like maybe she just backs those other skills. Maybe she's not a player who wants to play with an idol. Maybe that's just not her game. And she's like now using that. And honestly, wherever you fall on the move, like, I mean, I like how interesting I find it. Like I really like that like social strategy that's like, yeah, again, just to be like that conservative, but like so bold, like the most boldly conservative move where it's like, I don't even want to have an idol, but I'm going to like put votes on myself to get rid of it. Like, wow, that duality I just found really interesting. Like, I'm not surprised it's been such a topic of conversation.
Yeah, I hear all that. It just feels like if you have an idol, you can always use it again. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and to be clear, I'm like, you know what I mean? If she gets in a situation where she is a target because of it, then you play it then, and then you're less with that because you don't have it then. You know what I mean? Like, so I mean, and that's coming from someone who, like, I actually really didn't want an idol, like, in general because of that reason. But, like, it doesn't, I don't know. She does have one, and she isn't the target right now. So it just feels like you preserve this option for one more time. I don't know.
Be counter to when you're the target, play it then. Like, why even allow yourself to become the threat? Like, she's part of this vote on herself. Like, she's not the threat.
Yeah.
And maybe she'll never become that. Like, there is going to be a swap. There's probably always some good stuff in having an idol. But just, like, it's just been such a big theme of the season that idols are being flushed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as well, like, so Haley last season, like, a big part of her game was having this public idol, and she used it for strategic gain through votes and votes and votes through this like implicit immunity. And I think a great player can do that, and Haley's like highly strategic. I don't know that Shay would come in saying that she's like that kind of player, but I think she's like very much an energy and vibe and social player. And like, if there's this kind of idol in your back pocket ruining those relationships, and you can rest on the physical laurels as well, like maybe just like, it's just not your game. Like, it's just not really what you like maybe signed up for. And like, she started off hot, like in terms of like going out for two idols, having like one and a half basically public idols in the first two episodes, has maybe like taken a pause to make some relationships to like not have that pace be, you know, her game, has like kind of drained the juice that was Brianna out of her. That's gone to Dave and is now just like being even keeled. And maybe the idol just like does not vibrate on that frequency with her anymore. Like I do see that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I just think you just don't know what the, like, I think you just, I think there is value to waiting until it actually is necessary, because like, she could very well have played the idol this time, and then she gets swapped, and it's like, her and Ben and a bunch of people whose loved ones aren't there, and then they're a threat. You know what I mean? And then you're a threat because Ben held up the entire weight of the entire
That was crazy.
You know, like, so it's just like, there's, it's not obvious that like guarantee, and she's still very physical, and like she's also was socially on the outs a little bit, it seemed like, at various points. So it just, I don't know. I think, yeah, I don't know.
I see why people are, you have opinions on it, basically. Like I see a lot of those viewpoints. Speaking of the challenge, which I loved, amazing. I think like almost all time iconic challenge. Like big part of Australian Survivor, these like group endurance challenges where like one person can win it from everyone. And I think Ben being like 1-8
truly like a memorable performance. We got this question. Do you think Mark threw that?
No. Why would he throw that to do this con blindside?
Well, to get rid of Sophie at least, or to like flush the, like, there was a lot of good things happening to the point where, like, I mean, he threw, so like he, I think, like, really led it. He threw their ability not to go to tribal council, which would be Alex leaving. Right. When they say, well, you, like, that to me is a throw. I mean, at that point, like, the trade of the station, like, the plan is very much on. It's probably different to being at a challenge.
Yeah.
But like, he had the opportunity to go to tribal council that time and chose yes. And like, at the challenge, was that a similar mentality?
Right. That's interesting. I mean, I guess what I'll say is there's no, I don't feel that there's that much of a reason to think that. Like, I mean, are people saying that because, like, well, if Ben could hold on.
Well, he's just very strong.
Right. But it's like Brock let it slip. You know what I mean? It's not like, it's not just like, how strong are you? It's like you're holding a slippery rope. And there's like the dynamics of other people's like bouncing off you, and big guys also, like, when you're not eating, then your muscles are just, like, it's just, I think the fact that Mark lost to Ben is not evidence of a throw. Mm-hmm. Personally, yeah. I've never had muscles, so I can't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That. I don't know. I really, again, I, you know, didn't watch the prior season, but that seems like just such a necessary risk, like, out of nowhere for someone who's like otherwise been playing like a pretty measured vibe.
Mm.
I would be surprised, especially like you're banking on, I feel like it was surprising that they, even with Mark letting go, I feel like it was surprising that Ben still held on. Like, I don't know that they would have expected that they did lose. You know what I mean? I don't remember exactly where Mark let go.
Yeah. Mark was one of the last eight. So, yeah, you'd think that he wouldn't last that long and that he would possibly slip earlier. Like, it was improbable that Ben would win 1-8. So you would think once he's gotten to that point, he's trying to win the challenge. I feel, you know, like, there's no way that he is like, ah, I'll let go right when Ben is holding everything for everyone against, you know, seven other people and me. It would be a bad challenge throw if that was me. Like, Ben did that.
Yeah, I just think it's like you can lose challenges for a lot of, you know, reasons. And like, Ben also seems really strong. Like, I get that Mark is strong too, but it's just, I don't know. Random thing from the, from, you know, the arch challenge that they did in the first episode in this cycle?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Wasn't it that the blood, the blood one harder than the water one?
Yes.
It was, right? Okay. Is that a thing? Do people know about that?
Yeah. No, people, we did get that question. Yeah, that the challenge was slightly imbalanced in that the water blocks, like, they're all different letters. Yeah. So once you do like BL, then you have like two O's and only one of them is right. And that's why you can get bolod. Because they're all like inverse to each other. So I don't think, I don't see how it was a massive disadvantage or like even a reasonably small disadvantage. It's just that once you grab that O, you might be wrong. And like water just don't have to deal with that. So they should have done red and blue. I know that those are different letters. They could have just done, we got the suggestion that was like blood on one side, water on the other, and then they have the same puzzle. I think people just thought it was weird that there was an extra consideration, even if it's small, for one tribe over the other.
Well, and it's not that small in the sense that I think it almost happened that they had their arch almost done, but it was wrong, which like is just impossible, was basically impossible to happen on the water. Or like, water could have spelled water wrong, but like, it was only because it was right on one side. So I don't know. I did not like that. I'm glad the internet took care of that. Yeah. People know about that.
They keep people accountable. I don't think, I watched it so many times. I don't think that
it's not why they lost.
Yeah, I don't think it's why they lost. But I mean, obviously we want challenges to be like exactly equal. Last thing on water before we get to the chizzy. So Alex leaves. There's been a lot of conversation around, like, they wouldn't let him get voted for. He has to quit. He has to burn his buff, which was so painful. And then I feel unnecessary. Like, there's different types of leaving the game, Facebook. Like, it's not the same. Like, not every time you leave is a quit. I think that's, like, an important distinction that needs to be made. Like, you know, Dana in Philippines as well. Like, do people really see that as a quit?
Oh, my God.
She was super sick.
Yeah, that is so silly. And, like, you know, having been out there for, what day are they on? They're on, like, what
day? 14. Don't let you forget day 16 incoming. Okay. Like, clearly the storyline.
Literally almost the entire time that I was on Survivor, I got voted out on day 17, and I was
crazy.
Yeah. Yes. Like, I cannot imagine how hard it was being Alex for 13 days with a, you know, back spasm or whatever. And I think he absolutely is a survivor that he toughed it out for as long as he did. He was in the final. That was, oh my God. Like, so I mean, that's a medevac in my opinion. Like, and you're back, like you can really mess up your back for life. So I felt for him. And yeah, anyway.
What do you make of them not giving him that out?
Well, I was of two minds of it. I mean, I definitely, to me, and this kind of points to, I do kind of feel like they were trying to get Khan out, because it's like, I felt like it, especially Mark being the one, it's like, I felt like it was the thing of like, if you take a shot at the king, you can't miss. So I felt like it was like, they had this plan in place and they really, really wanted to execute it. But obviously if he is saying doing that, he might've just medevaced the next day and then they're down two people. But also in a blood versus water situation, I really think the tribe lines is a lot less important. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's already going to get so mixed up because it's going to be this whole thing of like, of the pairs. And it's like, well, who is my loved one close with? Okay, let's make a coalition. Like, you know what I mean? I think having the numbers on the other tribe is much less important in this situation. So I kind of get them wanting to just execute on their plan. And also like Alex, like was in a lot of pain and then did feel better another time. So like, I get it. I think if it was me and I had put together this whole plan, like I would want it to still happen probably.
Yeah. I think it's hard because, okay, so Mark's leading it and he either or both really wants Khan's idol gone and Khan, or like at least Sophie gone. Like there's a lot in that for Mark and for everyone other than basically KJ and Sophie. And I understand why people saw it as cruel because he's like crying and begging and then he had to burn his buff. But I truly don't think there was anything in it for the tribe other than just human decency, which is definitely important. But like human decency to let Alex go when they've got so much going on in this vote. They're trying to flush two idols. Like Shay was very willing to give up her idol and now he will make it to the swap with an idol. They don't want that. Like she wasn't even a part of that. So they're trying to get so much done to either take out two idols and the threat that is Khan, or two idols and the headache that has been Sophie for them and their loved ones. So much going on in that vote. And it's 100% better for them to do that vote, get rid of those idols, get rid of that threat, like make the move that is already completely like the toothpaste is out of the tube. Like Khan comes back and he like knows it's happened. Like you've invested a lot of social capital, a lot of your own threat level in like putting together this major, major move. It's definitely better for them to like make good on that, like make the solo plan happen and then have Alex get like medevaced or quit on the way back to literally to camp. Right. Like that would be better for them. So there's nothing in it for them other than the human side of it, but I can't judge them harshly because I think that they had a lot of stakes in this vote.
I totally agree. And like, I mean, maybe Alex was just laying in bed, in the shelter the whole time, but it's like, if he really wanted them to vote him out, why didn't he just like get back from camp and be like, please vote me out then? You know what I mean? And
I wonder if production stepped in on that.
Maybe, but...
Firstly, there's like this weird 24-hour medevac rule. I don't know how to explain it. Exists in Australians. Okay. Like you can leave for 24 hours, which I guess is like most of US Survivor, and come back.
Okay, Shannon, that's a step too far. Okay,
compared to Australian Survivor, you can miss half the game. No, but there is like this weird medevac thing, which I don't think Alex would have wanted, and I don't know what would have helped us back in 24 hours. But they're very, very, very reticent for people to get like medevac. It has happened, and if it's after a challenge, they do it, but they wouldn't want to like lose all their content. They have to fill 70 minutes with no tribal council at that point. They're not going to go to tribal council still because like they can't lose two people from this. Like we already have to have one of them. So it's not like Alex can leave and then they're like, well, then go to tribal council and get rid of someone. So I wonder if production, he has said that he didn't want to tell his tribe mates because they might have talked him out of it. Like that's what he said on the template exit. But I wonder if there was production being like, if you're going to do this and you're talking to production about it, like do it at tribal council because it's 25 minutes left of this episode. So we need some drama.
Right. No, that's fair. I mean, fair enough. But yeah, I'm totally with you. I would probably not. I would want to. The plan was so good. Like you said, like you gotta do it. And again, there's like huge upside to every outcome of it. So Yeah, I get it. And it's like human decency. Is it that much more dignified to beg everyone to vote for you versus then 2 seconds later being like, okay, well, I'm just going to leave. Like, I mean,
yes, because in one of those, you get to keep the buff. That's it.
Yeah. You can buy a buff online. It's fine.
You actually can't with Australian Survivor. That's the problem. That's the thing. That's what it's about.
Oh, wow. That's okay. Well, that's mean. Blame production.
Yeah.
Not the
point. Channel 10 should send Alex a buff.
Yeah.
That, no one's on board with the fact that he had to burn his buff.
Yeah, that's sad. There's so much different between American and Australian Survivor. You can't buy a buff online. That's like
crazy.
You know, you can't even buy buffs in Canada. Like, Erica had to ask them to send her some.
Really?
Yeah.
I bought buffs though to hear. Oh,
well, that's the power of you being you, I guess. I don't know.
No, like not anything. Like I just bought a buff on the CBS website.
Really? They don't ship. I think they don't ship to Canada. It's like a thing.
What? It's crazy. Yeah. I have a couple of Australian Survivor buffs. So like, yeah, you can't buy them. That's why I do this gig. That's why I work for Channel 10. They send me buffs. And I treasure them. I have more than Alex. Like that's not right.
That's rough. That's rough.
All right. Well, let's get to the chizzy. Take it away, Jacob Sager Weinstein and MC Color.
1, 2, 3. 1, 1, 1, 1, 2, 3. It's getting kind of chizzy. 3, 2, 1.
All right, Abby, I'm excited because I feel I'm about to give chizzy points to the queen on Australian Survivor. It's an exciting time. Would you like to go first or should I start?
I will go first because I feel I don't want to be influenced by yours, but okay. I feel like ours might be similar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I am going to go 3 for Sandra. Mm-hmm. I'll just say off the top, it's going to be 3 Sandra, 2 Sam. And I honestly feel like they both played really amazingly. And I think the thing that puts me over the top for that Sandra deserves the 3 over Sam. First of all, Sandra's just in a much tougher position. Like, to be able to be making moves from being such an obvious threat, like the threat of all threats, literally 2-time winner of the game, came in on a freaking helicopter. Like, mm-hmm. just so masterful. And especially with the first, with the Sophie vote, I feel like she was able to do that in such a way to have no blood on her hands, which is just so expert level. And then, you know, obviously people do know that she was involved in the vote that ultimately Jay got out, but like she had to do that to save herself. And she also had the social capital that Michelle wanted to tell her and all these people wanted to work with her. She planted the seed. I mean, we talked about it so much, but I think, you know, to me, Sandra deserves the 3 easily. Mm-hmm. Yes. So then definitely 2 to Sam. Like, I think she's in a great spot. I think she was, you know, the swing vote on the Sophie move, which again was, you know, definitely had pros and cons, but I think ultimately it went fine for her. And she was in the power position and then got herself right back in with the group that remained. And she's in just such a good spot. And I think overall just like playing fantastically. I've started with such a strong open, but my 1 is honestly still up in the air.
I felt the same way. Yeah. Oh my God, I struggled with my 1. Yeah. This is why we do the 3, 2, 1.
Yes, yes. So in terms of the 1, I'll show you the people I considered, okay?
Yeah.
I think Jesse is in a great spot and I like what he's doing. So he's in it. I mean, KJ set up that excellent plan. It's so annoying to not see that come to fruition, but and that's not her fault at all. I mean, she really saved Sophie. She made something out of totally nothing. Michelle also.
Oh my gosh.
Definitely.
I'm laughing. It's just the exact options that I had, like literally every name that I had written down. Yeah. And I had the same thing where I was like clear 3, clear 2, really confused on the 1. Like texting my brother, like help me on this, like going back and forth on those 3 options.
See, okay. See, this is what I wanted at first because I felt like that might be the case.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah.
I think I'm going to go for Michelle because first of all, I think, yeah, you know, or KJ.
Stop it. That's the order that I was like, Jesse like it, but not necessarily.
Yeah.
Michelle leaning, KJ lent, and then like went back to Michelle. That was literally my thought process.
Yeah. I think I'm going to stick with Michelle. I mean, she's doing great things. She really, I mean, really saved Sandra, I think, potentially by getting the idol information out there. Great job catching the idol. And also, I want to make sure she gets a chizzy because she is getting so few confessionals. And so get her on the board.
Yeah, I mean, she's about to have more chizzy points than she has confessionals.
Yeah, I mean,
it's crazy. Like, you co-sign everything you said. I mean, yeah, and I as well struggle with the Sandra Sam of it all. Mm-hmm. And Sam, I thought, like, a Sam's like pulling one over on the vote to Sandra, like the only one who can kind of pull the wool over her eyes and like does deserve to have more points for her. But then just the fact that Sandra could do this, being Sandra and who she is and like running the game, she's making everyone look pretty inexperienced other than a couple of people, but she's making a lot of people look inexperienced besides her, I guess, because they are. She should not be this good. She should not be this safe. She should not be able to run things. Definitely 3 points to her. Mm-hmm. And then 2 to Sam for everything we've spoken about and how well she's doing. It's a 3-point week. It's just like you did it against, you know, one of the best players of all time playing just like such an epic week so improbably that, you know, I can't give 3, but I'll give 2. And then the 1 point for the exact same thing. I think that Michelle seeing that idol really was a determining factor in the swings, you know, going with that side. And I just think it's pivotal. I will give her the point, but definitely honorable mention to Jesse for all the things we've spoken about, that intentionality. And then KJ, like, I don't even think I've gone on enough about how much I really, really liked her plan. Yeah. I wish we could have seen it play out. It's hard for me to give the point when we didn't see the vote happen. Mm-hmm. And possibly like how clued in was Khan to that, like, how much of a chance did Sophie have? But honestly, the fact that she had a chance at all and that people could go with a not just Sophie plan and that she can come up with a plan that attractive and sell it to people is so impressive to me. Even though I honestly think for KJ, like, Sophie leaving is probably for the best.
The sister's not going to do that. Yes, I was actually going to say before, I was like, the only person that doesn't benefit from Sophie going home is KJ. But then I was like, maybe it does.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, like, in her plan of saving her sister and her, like, very understandable want to do that, she did amazingly. In what should happen for her, possibly, you know, it's not the thing that should. But then maybe Khan plays his idol. She flushes a bunch of idols, which is good for her. Sophie does go home, which is good for her. And she does look like this epic sister who tried and almost got her over the line, which is good for her. Like, there could have been a lot of boxes ticked, but we didn't get to see it. So unfortunately, just an honorable mention. But the charts put Sam now leading on 7, mm-hmm. leading the chizzy. Nina and Sandra both on 6. So that's fun.
That's great. Love
having a good time with that. Mark is on 2. Now Michelle is on 2 and Khan is on 1.
Wow.
Some fun stuff.
It is unfortunate that we do these in groups of 3 because I feel like Khan probably would have had more if we were doing them one at a time, but I feel good about it.
It's the most bastardized chizzy format because it's really, really difficult. Like, you could be the best player in a whole episode. Even like Amy was great. Like, we would have given Amy 50 points for that, you know, for the Sophie vote, but then by the end she's like not been in the power and like other people have done better things, so she's like not even in contention. It's just like really hard to fight through so much content for those chizzy points, way less time to do it. Like, for sure, the way we do it for US and South Africa, where it's just episodic, like, that's a much cleaner way to do the chizzy for sure.
But what amazing charts. I mean, come on. Sam and Sandra and Nina. Amazing.
Brilliant. Loving it. All right. Well, we have JLP tweets for the week. I also have to ask, so like, you've just been introduced to JLP. As you said, Jeff is not there. I want your thoughts on him in general.
Okay. I'm afraid to say anything because I don't know like I don't know where he is in the fan, like how much, you know. Okay. I'll just say it.
We love JLP.
Okay. Okay, great. I don't love JLP, but, and I've said this in other things, like, I didn't, Jeff, like, was not, so I wasn't a huge Jeff fan in general, like, always. Like, I feel like his shtick of, like, yelling and being like, tick, tick, blah, blah, that was never, like, my thing. But, first of all, seeing him in action made me, like, love him a lot more. Like, I think real person Jeff is a lot more fun than TV Jeff, and he's just very cute and, like, loves the show so much and is, like, the ultimate, like, stage dad. And I enjoyed him as a person. But the first challenge of this season where Blue just, like, was giving up, like, that Jeff would have been yelling at them so much, like it just never could have happened. And it just, JLP just let it happen. And I didn't love that, but I love.
I can't believe you called them blue. Betrayal. 2.5 hours into this podcast.
Yes, yes, that. But I do. I love his little sayings after the vote outs. You know, whatever it is that he's saying, I like that. But okay, those are my thoughts. I don't know. That was a bit of a ramble, but I'd say he's fine. But I'm not. You know, I'm just not. I'm not used to him. Maybe is the problem.
Yeah. I mean, it's an adjustment, but look, JLP is probably like my favorite of the hosts. A lot of people say Jeff Probst mixed with Wolverine. You know, he doesn't have that production power, but I kind of like wish he did. He's got like really good thoughts on the game. So like there's some interesting stuff and like the difference in hosts. Mm-hmm. What you will love are the JLP tweets that I pulled this week.
Yes, I am
everyone's
excited.
Into theme song. Put that out there. Nothing back. Absolutely, absolutely nothing. So thanks, everyone. That's good. I'll just have to sing it.
Yes, yeah. More Shannon singing.
My singing career just kept alive by this podcast. So he tweeted, there is only one queen per season, woozy face. What making fun of the whole vibe that everyone is royalty.
Okay.
He often calls out the show, which I like. He also often uses the woozy face emoji.
I love it. Is the woozy, it's like the smaller eye and the bigger eye and the tongue out?
I think, yeah. I mean, that's what, yeah, it was. That's what the notes app said it became.
Okay.
So also, other than calling up production, what he'll do is make like, he'll just kind of like the inappropriate stuff that he's saying during challenges, he'll like bring it to Twitter.
Okay.
He said, drop your log and it could be a real stinker for the rest of the tribe. Yeah, I don't know about this one. I think JLP needs a vacation, woozy face.
So he's saying that he's also third personing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I do enjoy that. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. No juicy either. Or maybe it's juicy LP. Maybe that's what it stands for. He says Dave, Jay, and Amy are thruple trouble. Toss your keys in the bowl at the door. Flush face.
Oh my god.
That's yeah. Are you learning what Australia is? We also get to swear here on TV.
Yeah. I mean, that's also like not what a thruple is.
But yeah. No, you're right. That's a swinger.
That's a swinger. That's something different. But
JLP. Get it right.
I mean, maybe he's into the key jars is just the thing, you know?
Well, he wanted to talk about it, even though it wasn't right. I feel like JLP the whole week as well was just, like, really pumping up the Sandra stuff, which was fun because I was very much like, queen stays queen, and, like, he on Twitter as well. He was like, I've said it before, B4, like, let it be, number four, and I'll say it again, don't, full stop, mess, full stop, with, full stop, the, full stop, queen, all in caps.
Wow.
So he's a Sandra.
It's so funny. I mean, I do feel a little bad for the other players.
Yeah.
Like, to have the host like rooting for one of them, but it's like, but I'm rooting for her. So it's fine.
I feel kind of bad for the players who don't get any of her screen time, but I want to see a confessional from her.
Right.
It's hard. Right. We're hypocritical. You know, it's not right, but we want it. I don't know what to say.
Right. And it's also, it's like, you know, you get a lot more coverage of the overall game. So. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that brings me to the questions. We got some really great ones. Andy Ruder asks, would Evie rather have one confessional in every episode they're in or have 15 confessionals all in one episode?
Wow. And like none.
How great would you rather?
That's a great question. Oh my God.
Yeah,
that's so hard.
Like literally to like, so yeah. I mean, for Amy got 3 confessionals in 5 episodes and then 13 in the latest one. Unhinged. Right. There's a well-known player, Evie, who got 0 confessionals in, I think it was either until the 7th episode or maybe through 7 episodes. I think it was until the 7th episode. So basically like Mel. So there's still hope for Mel yet. And then got over 100 confessionals.
What?
And Benji was like one of the most, if not like the most important person on that season. Nothing for 2 full weeks of like 8 hours of content.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
I think it's fun to have an episode where you are the star or like a big player. Whereas like the one confessional, an episode might be boring, like might be not that interesting. So maybe I'll go for big. I mean, I felt very happy that in the premiere of my season, I had a lot of confessionals because it was like all these people were so excited to see me, like my, you know, friends and family. And then they like really got to see me right away. So that's a hard one, Twitter.
So
wow. I'm going to go one episode 15.
wow, that, I mean, like, what an episode you'd be having. You'd hope you'd be doing well. Because if well, you're getting, like, one per episode, like, who knows? Like, that could just be, like, it was a good reward. Like, right. Maybe it's not, but, like, you're definitely doing a lot when you get 15. But maybe you're, like, hugely flaming out in a really painful way.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I choose the valence? Like, I want to be the star, the good star for 15.
No. Famously on this podcast, you get a would you rather, you choose one side and you get what you're given. Like, that's no hedging. Like,
but Mike Blue got two winner picks.
Don't even. With Mike knows what he did. Mike knows. And I see he's still podcasting. So, Alec Marinaro says, did Sam Frost and Jay split because he's not dateable? So, famously, Jay
right.
and Alex's connection was through famous ex-bachelorette Sam Frost. He was dating Sam Frost. Mm. Alex's siblings with Sam Frost. I try to look up if Sam was, putting anything on social media about it. Maybe her Instagram is still deleted. I should confine her Instagram. I didn't look very hard. But this was funny because then they split up and then famously, Blood versus Water, Kat said, you're not dateable if you don't make the merge. Right. I don't know why I'm explaining this joke that everyone understands.
Oh, yeah. And I forgot that was also literally Blood versus Water. I think that's the only likely explanation of why two people would break up, you know?
Yeah, that's the only thing. I mean, it's not the anti-vax thing. It's definitely this thing. And then her brother left as well. So, and he's saying that was like a problem for his game. So like, it's maybe pretty mean to break up with someone for that reason.
Yeah, but maybe he also had all this resentment, you know, Alex quit or, you know, and left him hanging. And it's, you know, hard to look at her now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know about this one. I will say, like, Carmel, my partner, said to me several times that the dateable thing mattered to her. So.
Yeah. Come on, you're going to embarrass me.
I almost didn't make the jury. I don't know where that would have fallen.
No, well, the jury, that's not anything. Like, it's the merge. A cat decided.
So is Sydney dateable?
Depending on that? Yes. Oh wait, no, but Sydney didn't make the merge.
That's what I'm saying. Well, she was at the merge. She made the merge for a period of time.
I don't know. This is up to each individual romantic potential partner for Sydney to work out on their own whether they think she made the merge.
Yeah, I think she's doing fine.
So. Yeah. I will say, I mean, Alex and Jay seemed fond of each other. I just felt like every time I just couldn't get out of my head. I'm like, these two random people. I think Alex said, he's like, oh, I was happy to see Jay with his like beautiful smile and mischievous face. Like, I feel like they both came into this like, just pretend we know each other. It's a Blood versus Water season. We want to play the game.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Of all the loved ones, definitely. Oh my God. Do we know, by the way, sorry, tangent, but is Croc's wife Chrissy's sister or what's, yes?
That's it. Yeah.
Croc's wife is, okay. So does that mean Croc's wife is like Chrissy? I want to know about her. I need to know.
I was gonna ask you if you felt like Chrissy Tiffany vibes.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. Because people have asked me that. I mean, like, okay, first of all, Tiffany is a fan of Survivor and definitely was confused at times about the new confusing things, but she knows Survivor. So come on, people. Show some respect.
I think they mean that she's like really funny. Like, I think it's a positive thing. People love Chrissy and she's an icon. Like, that's
okay. In that regard, absolutely. And I also think something that I find is very similar about them is like, I think you watch, like, especially those first couple episodes, like, they tried really hard to make it seem like she was just this crazy lady and like, no, they're gonna vote her out, like, blah, blah. But like, it was also really clear that everyone really liked her and she probably wasn't actually getting voted out. And I think that's what Tiffany was too. Like, you know, those first couple episodes, they made her seem like all these people were like, why didn't you vote out Tiffany? It's like, I was never going to vote out Tiffany. It's Tiffany. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so I think Chrissy definitely has that thing. Like, there's a lot of subtle things. Like, even like in the challenge where they were in the water with the throwing the ball or whatever, at one point she said, like, Jordy, like, get on the wall. And then he like went on the wall. Like, that's the kind of vibe of like a person that is like very much part of the tribe. So I might have taken this more seriously than intended, but like, yes, in the good ways and not in the bad ways. And
yeah,
Tiff's the best and Chrissy's the best.
Chrissy is great. I mean, there's been a lot of Ashley news around Chrissy this week just with her adoption story. A little bit of a trigger warning here with some upsetting stuff around fertility, but just like, oh my God, like Google Chrissy, the stories will come up. Just like why she adopted and she went through IVF and had like 7 miscarriages and then like adopted these 3 beautiful girls. So yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot to Chrissy. Like, she's obviously really, really funny, seems to be socially doing great, like, is kind of a sounding board, it seems, for KJ, and just has this, like, amazing story as well. So,
yeah,
hard not to root for that. Like, she seems like a great person.
Yeah, we got to put all these people in a room. Like, get Tiff and Chrissy on a podcast. Let's do it.
I'm sure it will happen. Joey Jedlowski asks, does Australia have a different Wicked Witch? Didn't know the Wicked Witch couldn't die. The musical Wicked starts with good news. She's dead. The Witch of the West is dead.
Oh, my God. And she went on the Water Tribe. That should kill her alone.
I know. I was thinking, like, look, I don't need an excuse to dive right into Defying Gravity, all right? Because I'll do it. I'll do it right now. I'll do it. So if your whole story is Defying Gravity, but, like, maybe not as powerful and maybe just as, like, explosive, but
yeah,
I see it.
Yeah.
Something has changed. No, the Wicked Witch can die. That's, like, a really big plot point of no spoilers for Wizard of Oz. Yeah. But, like, that is
can actually, die.
Yeah,
it's so true. Far, but she has she's on water and she's still kicking. So potentially if a house falls on her, is that the other option?
I'm through with playing, but no, see, you know, I wanna do it, but I'm not. I've sung three times on this podcast.
So do it. This is
I'll try. No, I just exploded at the end of this podcast. No, I'm joking. There's no Defying Gravity. I haven't prepared a song. I don't know why that sounded sarcastic. There will be no song.
I'm still not sure. Is there going to be a song?
No. It's like just with Defying Gravity, you really got to put everything into that. Alex on Twitter asked, "Do you want to see more American players play Australian Survivor?"
Interesting. I mean, I really wonder what do Australian fans think? Because I think it was definitely like a great, it definitely made me more likely to watch it. I was like, of course I have to see Sandra play. So like it definitely had that effect, I think, of bringing American viewers in. But also like, I don't know. I mean, I could also see Australian fans being like, this is our show. We've got our own all-stars. Like, we don't need you guys. So I don't know. What's the vibe?
Certainly like the cesspool of Facebook had some of those feelings.
Uh-huh.
Instagram seems pretty happy about Sandra. Twitter, obviously, like, losing their minds in happiness. Some people, you know, the odd person's like, you know, don't want Americans here, or like, why can't we play our own game? So I don't know about the casuals. For me, I love it because it's like I have, you know, all of this information about a person. It's like you're watching a sitcom and like a guest actor comes in from another show that you love and you're like, oh my God, like, there's two things that I love intersecting. Like, I mean, I love it. It's not even just, let's get US players onto Australian Survivor. I've obviously wanted like full hybrid seasons. Let's put Australians. Like I've wanted Dave Jennett, who is like a half American citizen. He goes on American Survivor, like bring South Africa into it. Like let's just make it like a global franchise. That's my dream.
Totally. Totally. And I really do feel like it's like now you cannot like the US Survivor canon now includes this season. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? And Russell like, technically. But
yeah, whatever. Yeah. But like, so I absolutely love that. So yeah, I do think that is awesome. And like, again, yeah, for me, from my perspective, I would say absolutely, but you know, I wouldn't also want to like change the integrity of the Australian thing. So,
No, it's great. I love it. It's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, having a lot of fun with it. Last question. Joe Santos says, who was Evie's original winner pick and do they stand by it after watching them for the first 6 episodes?
Yes. I saw that one. Unfortunately, I didn't make a winner pick. I'm not going to lie. But,
do you have one now? That is completely not valid, by the way. Like, less valid than any of Mike's multiple winner picks because it's 6 episodes in. There's been 15 hours of the show, but you might as well put your, behind someone.
I mean, I definitely think, like, Sam and Mark and Sandra and Nina are both doing great, but I really feel like the couple to watch is Jesse and Jordy. I just think that they're in such a good spot without being targets at all right now that I think they could have a lot of legs in the game. So my money's on them, but this is very much not canon. This winner pick. Who was your winner pick?
Shay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel good about it. Like I still feel pretty good about it.
Yeah.
Not amazing. Not like wow. I really but like she's in it. I think.
Definitely. And she's a boss. Yeah. I'm so glad for her that Brianna left. That was definitely
drain the juice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Evie, this has been such a fun time. Literally almost 3 hours of just like the most intense strategy, and sometimes I sang, and then also some ridiculousness. But I feel like we just like really got in the weeds, and I, you know, watching you play, I'm like, this is someone who will appreciate doing that with me. And it happened. It was your first Survivor recap. What a great time for all.
Yes, it was so fun. It was like, so we went like almost 3 hours. So that's like, what, like 30 All Too Wells? So
yeah. That's just like less content actually than Australian Survivor, which is very rare, because I'll go 2 hours on a 40-minute episode of US Survivor. But this is like, you got to skip some stuff. Like, there's so much going on.
Yeah, exactly. No, this was so fun. And like, I said this to you offline, but like, Shannon, I love your podcast, love your coverage. And like, even on a season that I was on when I didn't necessarily like agree with every single thing, I think that you just think about the game so deeply and like see between the lines and think through all the angles. And I just really, really enjoy your coverage. So so excited that I got to be a part of it.
Yeah, no, it was really, really fun. I feel like some really interesting theories explored, and hope everyone enjoyed that. Where can people find you, Evie? What else do you have going on other than just being on every RHAP podcast, I guess?
Yeah. Well, I'm on Twitter at Evie Jagoda, and I am currently deep into Celebrity Big Brother. So if you're watching, check out what I'm tweeting out there. Mm-hmm. Instagram at Evie Jag, and TikTok at Evie Jag. Yeah, as Shannon said, if you haven't checked out my RHAP deep dive, I feel like that was fun. If you want more Survivor 41 content, I was also on an episode of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City podcast, which was super duper fun. And is another type of reality show that I thoroughly enjoy. And I'm on Cameo. I love doing the cameos. So feel free to check me out there. And finally, almost certainly on February 12th, the Saturday before Valentine's Day, my partner Carmel and I think are going live on Instagram at 4 p.m. to do like a Valentine's Day related live, like queer dating, your whatever dating questions, whatever, our relationship, your relationship, dating, Valentine's Day, Survivor, whatever. I don't know. I think it's gonna be fun. It's like the first one thing like that we're doing. So if you're interested in that, check us out.
Nice. Well, follow there, and you can follow me at Shannon Gates. Subscribe as always to the International Survivor Hap-Ups feed. And if like any ratings that you guys can give, I feel like now that you can like rate on Spotify, any reviews as well, if you like this podcast enough to hopefully be enjoying it almost 3 hours in, it's fine. You can tell me to stop singing Defying Gravity. It's fine. It's not because I sing it all the time in the shower and in my car. You know what? There is no Defying Gravity. But, you know, any reviews or anything, I really appreciate all the support. And I just really have enjoyed talking about it with everyone, you know, on Twitter, a lot of like DMs and stuff. And people really have a lot of thoughts on the season. And there seems to be a lot of positivity. So we're having fun with it. Talking Tribal, as always, is out with James, Haley, and George. And I thought this week was a really fun one. Get a glimpse of my new like Survivor shrine that I have, which I might do a bit of an Instagram like little tour of, because it's just, I don't know. It's like my favorite spot in the house right now. And next week I have an amazing guest to talk about week 3. It is a great Sarah Talik, who I love talking to from Australian Survivor 2017. We're going to break it all down. Still no word on exits. That's why there's no exit interview podcast. Thank you, Sandra, for still being around until I sort it out, please. But yeah, sorry about that, guys. I'm doing literally everything I can. I can assure you that. But Evie, thank you so much again. Like, absolutely a joy to talk to you.
You too. This was so, so, so fun. Can't wait to see what happens the rest of the season and all your takes on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, so it's a big investment, but we're all in it. We're all doing it together, having a great time with it, not even being angry. Strange things are happening, but thank you so much again, Evie. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Thank you to all the listeners, and I will see you next week. Bye.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor.
Losers.
21 South Africans.
12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Give me the swammer.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million shkeli.
1 million rubli.
Tribe spoke.
Tribe spoke.
Tribe spoke.
Tribe spoke.
The adventure of a lifetime.
Adventure of a lifetime.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.